All right, Darren, you ready?
Oh, wait, I need to pee.
You said you wanted to go right now. Go.
Wait, I was just gone. Who didn't go while I was gone?
Me.
That would be the guy who says, can we go? Can we go? Can we start this?
Oh, the dude who values talking over everything else in life?
Yes.
Yes. You're back.
Welcome to the Scotchcast, episode 33 for the week of June 20th, 2014. My name is Thurbleton. Joined with me today is self-confessed cynic.
Hello!
All right, Durin.
Hi.
And Shinboy630.
33.
Woo! Later in the episode, we hope to get Squiddle, but whatever.
What was that? I don't understand what just happened.
It's episode 33, so I was like 33.
Yep. Very, very classic. Nice job.
Thank you.
We will be going
said it with confidence
into E3 discussions, basically just our list of the games that we thought were really cool, and we want to impress upon you guys that each of us thinks they're cool. So not a collective. But before that happens. Last episode, or last time I was on and talked to Cynic, he said he was planning on seeing Godzilla.
Oh, geez, was that long ago?
Holy no, we talked about Godzilla. You said you saw Godzilla. I was here for this.
Yes, I was not. So
you were here. You were in the Skype call. I distinctly remember you commenting in the Skype chat at certain points.
Yeah, back and forth. I was doing laundry at the time. Anyway, what did you think of Godzilla?
Godzilla was pretty good. I like Godzilla a lot. It was all right.
Okay, so when it's a giant robot versus a giant monster, it's terrible. Okay, when it's two monsters fighting each other, it's the best thing ever.
The extent of the comic bookiness or animeness of Godzilla was a scientist who was hilariously dumb, claiming that Godzilla was essentially the savior of the world. And every third scene, he'd just like stare into the camera and go,
to be fair, he was right.
Like the king or something, the alpha predator or some bullshit. Like it was dumb. It was dumb in a good way. I think I didn't go along with how far Pacific Rim took it versus Godzilla, which kind of constrained the comic book / anime-ness a little bit more. If you want my analysis of it, but that's actually not the best movie I've seen in the last 3 weeks. I'd say.
All right, quickly because we got a lot to cover. What was the movie? Over the last 3 weeks, I guess.
Okay, so I watched two movies over the last 2 weeks. In particular, they're both awesome. I'm just going to quickly cover them. Edge of Tomorrow was fucking awesome, and I actually enjoyed How to Train Your Dragon 2 more. It was, like, it's a fantastic movie. I was surprised at how good How to Train Your Dragon 2 was.
I mean, I'm not that surprised. Night, the first one was good.
Which was excellent.
Yeah.
The Lego movie.
Yes, ooh, the Lego movie was great, too. That was great. But yeah, Edge of Tomorrow surprised me because Tom Cruise isn't shitting it, and How to Train Dragon.
It is surprising.
Yeah.
Actually, what I would say the most surprising about this discussion, all the people weighing in are the people who do not have kids on this podcast. Durin, have you taken your? Well, it's your guy isn't even old enough to go to the movie theater, right?
I mean, if I want to be an asshole, yeah, I could bring him to the movie theater.
Okay, so what did you and the kid think of How to Train Your Dragon? No.
It's really good.
No, he's definitely still too young. I have not seen a movie. I have not gone to the theater to see a movie, I think, in
a very long time.
3 or 4 years.
Wow, all right.
Well, it's like the Lego movie is like out now. Like, I'm pretty sure you can go to a store and
Redbox it.
On the DVD.
You know, if I could get him off of fucking Disney Infinity long enough to use the TV, I probably could do that.
Aw.
Sweet. All right.
John Vignacchi.
Yeah, Mr. Vignacchi. We will be going into the E3 discussion alphabetically. I don't think we're going to do anything about the different conferences, only because...
Can't read my list?
Hang on a second. We're not going to talk about what we've been playing?
We just like do a minute each on what we've been doing.
Okay, it's going around.
All right, get to get a timer up in the corner for everyone on this audio podcast.
Yep.
All right. I have a Skype call timer in the top right hand corner of my screen. So all right,
starting off with Durin.
What do you think? Okay, mine will be fairly short. I played a little bit of the Destiny beta. It seems all right. I want to play a little bit. Or sorry, Alpha.
Fuck you.
First look Alpha. I'm sorry.
Without talking about Peter Dinklage, how is the game?
I didn't play a lot. But it seems pretty all right. If you like Halo games but like to look down iron sights, it is probably right up your alley.
That sounds good. It sounds good.
I want to play more in the beta because I didn't actually get much done in the alpha. Shinboy will probably talk a little bit more about it. I guess the group stuff is not necessarily the best or at least very well tuned yet. But aside from that, I played Metal Gear Solid 2.
Okay.
What? Why?
Just as a refresher, or
yeah, because basically, like, okay, so Metal Gear 5, whatever, Phantom Pain, they showed some stuff off at E3, and we've seen some more since then. And like, I remember, like, when I was sitting there watching, I was like, man, I used to love, like, I loved the first Metal Gear. I played through that game. It's one of the few games I played through multiple times. And I at some point owned the other ones. Okay, I'll make the rest of this quick. At some point, I owned the other ones. But I fell off at some point, didn't play through any of them, so I decided I'm going to start back, you know, from the second one, because I did beat the first one, and play through the others, and holy shit, that second game plays really terribly, but I'm going to push through it anyway, because I have to know.
I played it directly off of the first one, and so the gameplay kind of wasn't as terrible.
Yeah, it's hard to go back to. And then real quickly, the other thing I played is kind of same idea, but I've been playing Dragon Age Origins.
That game's good.
I fell off of it pretty early on because I didn't realize what kind of game it actually was at the time. So I was trying to play it more like a third-person action game.
It's a D&D game, basically.
Now that I have appreciation for D&D, I actually do enjoy that game a lot.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
I tried playing it more like a like the stop action kind of thing and didn't realize that I should have invested in making an AI subroutine for every single character to make my life much easier.
You shouldn't invest in that because here's that what game I'm doing. Out well after FF12 and does that way worse.
Yeah, well, and here's my other thing too, is like I'm playing through this again to, you know, get an appreciation for the story and eventually move on to the second so I can maybe gauge my interest in Inquisition. So I'm just playing it on easy because all I care about is the story. And when you do that, you don't have to worry about that shitty AI system because everybody can just kind of face roll everything. I'll spend Mario Kart 8, and that's a lot of fun.
All right, maybe that is 3 minutes.
Are you mating as someone other than Luigi?
Oh my god!
Yes.
Oh my god, that was it.
Sweet. All right, moving on to Self-Confessed Cynic.
I played Final Fantasy X. That game is still fucking awesome, and that reminded me why I loved it so much. I finished it. It was great. It took me 60 hours. I cannot believe I found the time. Second thing I did was beat Transistor, and that game is fucking great. That game is fucking great. It's not as good as Bastion, in my opinion.
Have you tried? Have you started on New Game Plus?
No, I have not started. Well, I started New Game Plus just to see what Shinmo was talking about because he told me that was something interesting at the start. I was disappointed by it because I didn't find it particularly interesting. It kind of breaks the logic of the game, but
the game is pretty cool. No, not when you think about what the name of the New Game Plus mode is called.
Recursion. Yeah, but like, what does that mean in this context? We can't talk about the ending, but it ends interestingly and not badly. The music isn't as good, in my opinion, as Bastion, which is a major detractor in why I liked it less than Bastion.
I'd argue that one because there's more songs on the soundtrack that I regularly listen to on my iPod from Transistor than from Bastion.
But they're less catchy.
Bastion has a better soundtrack. Let's not be crazy here.
Yeah, if you listen to them in isolation, the best like individual tracks from Bastion are better than anything in Transistor, except for maybe the main track. And like, I think when you get it to hum while just standing around, that is better than most of the background music. So,
anything else?
Just those two movies and some other movies, but those aren't worth talking about. That's it. That's it for me.
Sweet. Shinboy?
I too finished Transistor, and I really like the very subtle change they made to the start of the game in recursion mode. Just because it caught me off guard.
Yeah, me too.
And then played a little bit more Child of Light. That game is still pretty good, and actually pretty tough. There's something else I wanted to say that I don't remember. Oh, I too have been playing Dragon Age and I'm not enjoying it because I don't give a flying fuck about anything that's going on.
Like, okay, yeah, all right.
I have just decided to be the biggest asshole to every character I meet because it gets me through the conversations quicker.
Awesome.
And that's about it. I've been playing more Zelda here and there, but I'm going on a trip in a couple weeks that I'm saving all my 3DS games for.
Right.
Nice. There's probably something else that I'm forgetting. But if I'm
what do you mean doing? That important.
I'm trying to start another playthrough of Metro 2033 just because I got an inkling to do that again. But in terms of new stuff, a friend got me Borderlands 2 because they want me to play with them. That's just Borderlands. There's more Borderlands.
Yep.
Other than that. And then I got A Story About My Uncle, which is a very neat platformer, 3D platformer that actually, Cynic, I think you should give it a try. The story's pretty good. The art's really nice. And after playing it, I definitely think people should, if they get it on or look on the guides and see like what the story is meant to explain.
Can it be played on a really shitty laptop?
I think so. It's worth looking into.
Well, I can run Transistor, for example.
Like, I think you're okay doing that then. You'll want to use a mouse, though.
What's it called again?
A Story About My Uncle. The whole thing basically plays like a bedtime story from a father to a daughter telling a story about the father's uncle as a child, when he was a child.
Kind of cute. All right. Is it emotive? Is it one of those games? Because it sounds like one of those games.
Describe emotive. It was originally a student project where they had to make a game that was nonviolent. And I think it looks like it was the Unreal Engine.
Oh, this is not what I expected. I was expecting at all. I was expecting something like I don't know what the fuck's that game that's really adorable and Gone Home. Like that kind of sensibility. Oh, no. This is more like
it is a platformer.
I don't know if
it
adorable is a word I would use for Gone Home, but okay.
It is a platformer that one of your biggest beefs about 3D platforming is the precision needed, and how they solve that or how they like address that issue is just making the platforms really far apart. And the main mechanic is you will fling yourself from floating boulder to boulder using like a energy
this
lasso
looks
sort of thing.
Like Devil May Cry.
Yeah. Form. Yeah. Is that for first person and...
Yeah, you consider playing Devil May Cry like this.
What?
The new one, DMC Devil May Cry.
No, but you're talking about in terms of like art style and stuff, right?
No, the platforming stuff. How like lassoing, grabbing to stuff and bolting
towards. Yes, okay, stuff. I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
But it's like 3, maybe 4 hours worth of playtime, and the cost, at least in the US, is about the cost of a movie. So it really is just like a pretty good B-rated movie.
It's actually 25% off right now, so it's like $9.75.
Yeah, Steam sale. Anyway, that's what I've been playing.
Oh, that being said,
that's all of us.
Quick little note. I was surprised how short Transistor was. I knew it was short, and it was shorter than I expected.
Yeah, that game perhaps warrants more talking about. Maybe we'll wait till other people have finished it as well. But I think that game was short.
I don't mean that as a negative, just an aside.
I thought it could have been longer. I thought that the bad guys weren't distinct enough. I would have liked a game which focused more upon their personalities and then used that to drive some more interesting stuff near the end. Because the ending areas are kind of boring, in my opinion. Especially with the enemies, they're too easy. Like, you're two-shotting them towards the end. Like, you're just way overpowered and that, I don't know. Anyway.
Hello.
Hey!
And now joining us, as previously mentioned, Squiddle. I guess if you can, in a very brief summary, what have you been playing, sir?
Got 2 minutes tops.
Oh, jeez.
And you're being timed.
Watch Dogs I've been playing.
Oh, very cool.
Really?
Oh, right. I forgot about that one.
Yes. Give a few words on that?
Did you install the quote-unquote mod?
No, I have not done like the mod to make it look as good as it did in last E3 type thing that went around.
Yeah.
No, I didn't do that. But
what are your initial impressions? Yeah.
I found it very refreshing, a very refreshing take on, because I have not been able to play GTA 5, it has been a great placeholder for what I was looking for, if that makes any sense. I like what it is offered in comparison. Hmm. Not having that available.
I just don't like the main character at all. He's a piece of shit.
No, the main character doesn't bother me. The mechanics of the game I love, and that's what I really like. I like the idea of running around, you know, using a phone to hack a car because now you got that perk and you can just jump into it is eh. But the idea that you can just like black out the whole area or have cops just run into things by creating events behind you is pretty fun. And for me, when I play GTA, GTA 3, 4, you know, or I should say Liberty City and yada yada, I like the idea of getting in a cop chase and seeing how long I can last. That's my big thing in open world.
Right.
It's always been that, and it's been fun for doing that. So that's
30 seconds.
Really. Oh, I've been playing. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yay.
So, and I will link Squiddle to this as well. We, as previously mentioned, are just going to go through all of the things we've been playing, or all the things we saw at E3 in a straight up list.
I like it. I like how it's alphabetical order, because even though that doesn't make sense in terms of like when or like the size of these games, it actually makes it a mixed list of varying interests. So alphabetical order.
And it's starting off from the people who have lately have been making strategy games and previously made like arcade games, Sega with Alien Isolation, and I believe that's Creative Assembly.
I cannot believe the accounts of that game in that... Okay, sorry, all right. The way I understand it is they unveiled a new mode at E3, which was essentially like a mini survival sim with you in the spaceship with the alien, right? And that was why, like, the impact of that, the fact that it's such like a short experience that can lead to really quick death and like surprise and jump scares and shit, that's why it got so much press. I'm not sure if the actual game itself translates to the excitement of that new mode and the coverage it's gotten. Because it hasn't convinced me yet as to whether they can make a good Alien game. Like, they can make a good 5-minute little play thing, but can they make a good Alien game?
Has Alien become the new Sonic?
Maybe? I don't know.
Sure.
I guess, like, does anyone know the background, like, what they're trying to cover in this game to introduce it to the audience? I don't know.
Okay, so it is Alien, not Aliens. They're trying to pull as much feel, data, and just, like, theme as they can from, I think it's not Carpenter, whoever made the first Alien movie. So it's a single, as far as we know, one alien at a time, at least one, possibly one alien total on the spaceship. They're pseudo being canonical by you're playing as Ripley's daughter in between the first and the second movie, and you can like craft guns and flamethrowers and stuff, but nothing is really effective at stopping the alien, maybe just scaring it for a little bit.
It essentially is the Terminator. They're basing this on how Terminator was, where it is a force that shows up. You cannot stop it. If it touches you, you're dead. You have to run. You have to survive. It's kind of an interesting way of putting it.
And how they are selling this over previous games is very little. Like, there will be scripted sequences for story purposes, but the bulk of the game and interaction with the alien, and I hope the other elements of the game, are very heavily, like, AI developed. Namely, like, you know, if you keep hiding in lockers, the alien will start checking lockers more often.
Yeah, like, I read something that there's, like, something akin to the AI director in Left 4 Dead that they're using for this, just to kind of, you know, keep things fresh for the player. But at the same time, like, I also heard after E3, there were some reports from people who had played the game or seen it or whatever that the alien is actually not the only enemy in the game.
That there are humans in the game. Shit.
Yeah, and like on one hand, you can't really expect a game to stay interesting for the 15 hours that this game is supposed to last with just a single enemy. But at the same time, at some point, like adding all those other enemies, the mercenaries and all this other shit, like starts to just kind of make it feel like it's just a first person shooter. Like, makes it feel like it's like the alien equivalent of Resident Evil 3.
Well, I originally thought they had like, we're working on this for 5 to like 7 years. It turns out it's only been like 3. So That definitely made me a bit more cautious about it. I guess we're going to wait as it gets closer and closer to release in October. But the sequences that we have, or people who have played the game have seen humans in like the playable levels and whatnot, they've been meant as like you sort of navigate the alien into attacking the human as like a distraction either for the alien or for the human who just got killed, and then you sneak past.
Yeah.
I have fallen asleep.
Yeah, I guess my personal like biggest concern really just comes down to like how are they going to make this game interesting for 15 hours? But that seems like a really long time for this style of game. Like, it's weird to say that I would almost prefer this be like a 6-hour campaign, knowing that the cost would not change. So like the, you know, the value, dollar value might, you know, whatever. But I don't know. Like, I'm starting to kind of.
Well,
there's something Patrick had talked about at one point when he was doing, I think it was one of the Speaking of Scoops he was doing. It was when he was doing the DLC, the Whistleblower DLC for Outlast. And I kind of am starting to agree with him that horror works best in like short sequences. So that was why like Whistleblower was actually kind of a better package than the original Outlast was, because you're able to go in there and kind of have it go, but it only lasts for about, you know, 4 hours or so, 3 or 4 hours, and then you're done and you feel like,
yeah,
it's more satisfying than.
But did they say it's going to be a 15 hour game?
Yes, they came out and said that
15
hours of an alien chasing you.
Well, no, because like half of it is the stupid fighting with the fucking random people on the ship. Because there's like, oh, there's a crew of like, not bounty hunters, but like dudes, like space pirates equivalent on the ship that you're fighting.
Right.
You're gonna be a shooter mixed with.
It's just like, and that's the thing. What I'm kind of worried about though is like, you know, even if it's not a shooter, like I'm hoping it's not just a shooter and then an alien shows up. But even if it's not, like you're talking about 15 hours of. One of those games where you are helpless and have to hide a lot.
Mm-hmm. And that is not. I hope that it's just like maybe it's a short game and they like, you know, it's trying to accomplish all the side stuff, and maybe this like this challenge mode that they've introduced will make things more interesting. But yeah. that is Alien Isolation.
Cool, that's perfect timing because
coming out in October. You haven't noticed
I've put out minute cutoffs for all of these. I thought
that was Shin Boy. All right, moving on. Next up is Assassin's Creed: Unity.
Yep, this surprised me.
Right? No, I'm kidding.
This legitimately surprised me.
And surprised you in a way like that you're actually interested in it, or
yes?
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm right there with you. However, was the interest for you the fact that they added multiplayer, or the fact that it's like French Revolution and some of the changes they made,
or the fact that there's no French girls? Revolution.
And the changes
they
made. Oh,
fucking see, this is what Insomniac did today.
No, what do they do?
They have like their Overdrive TV or whatever the hell their
Sunset Overdrive. Whatever.
That's right.
Like, it's their YouTube series that they do about the game, like short little 3-minute videos, and they do like an email segment at the end. And today's was like, "Can you play as a female character?" Dude doing the show went like, "Of course you can." And they cut to a gameplay clip where they're running around as a female character dressed as an assassin.
Wow.
That's pretty good. That's
great.
One of the neat things about Sunset Overdrive is they have like hundreds of different options for changing like your attire. And so, yeah, that should allow for a lot of customization.
And I don't want to seem dismissive of women in video games. I've just had like 3 weeks of training on women in the Air Force, and it's fucking pissing me off by now. I'm just over it.
All right. What about stabbing French dignitaries in the Revolution?
Oh god! All right. So
killing the French is always a good option.
Darren, what do you have to say?
I was going to say like for me, like the biggest thing is not necessarily the multiplayer. It doesn't even seem like that actually works the way people seem to think it's going to work. The biggest thing for me is actually I was listening to them talk about it on the Bombcast, and that was where I got excited about this game.
Yes.
Where they're talking about how like essentially missions everything evolved. Everything you hated about Assassin's Creed that revolved around the missions and how and the failure states of them, like they understand. So it sounds like they actually did take that player feedback from the last game, and they're like, okay, people don't like this, people don't like that. So let's just make it so that, you know, you're trailing somebody and oops, they got away. Instead of that being a fail mission, now it's like, okay, now you need to go and, you know, find this person and they'll tell you where that person is. And oh, if you fail that one, then you have to, like, it's just constantly evolving the mission around your failures, essentially.
Yeah.
But never making it a straight fail state. So you're always progressing through it, eventually getting to your objective.
That impressed me was that they're like, okay, we have this thing that people don't like. Instead of just going, let's just chuck it, because they actually seems like they sat down and went, how can we work on this to make it not suck?
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. So I
love it.
I thought I was out after Assassin's Creed 4, but Unity, like hearing that combined with like the setting being more interesting than Pirates to me makes me a lot more interested in.
I like Pirates more, and I'm legitimately for some.
Well, okay, the setting of Pirates was good. The implementation of it was fucking dog shit.
I love the ship stuff.
As somebody,
the ship stuff's really good.
Okay, as somebody who didn't like Wind Waker.
Okay.
Like, I like big open worlds where they actually have stuff.
But the cool thing is they're harkening back to like moments from previous Assassin's Creed games. The city is more interesting than it has been in a while. It's going to be really interesting.
I can finally climb the tower, so there's I'm in.
That game looks good, and I'm really worried about the PC version because
next gen. I hope they bring back the from Assassin's Creed 1 and maybe 2, like the football field, like the American football field. Like after an assassination was done, you were like the crowd was a dangerous thing that you could either use to like, you know, help
keep
distance between the troops, or would like straight up trample you. And even if it's not in that same implementation of like after an assassination is done, it seems like a bunch of peasants rioting.
The setting is actually going to make the crowds more useful.
The setting works, but the tech works as well because you can see the evolution of the crowd physics.
I say Assassin's Creed 1 because I don't remember seeing that in like 3 or 2 or I didn't play
that's
any of
4. That's because in those games you didn't have to go through all that because you were just a killing machine.
Yeah.
So there was no need to run away. You just kill all the guards and then walk away. The crowd stuff in this game is really interesting, but did you also notice that like they completely seem to have ditched the moving through crowds tech?
I'm not sure if that was moving through crowds like super or just weird. Like early,
you no longer like put your hands on people as you walk past.
Yeah, like it looks very video gamey. And there was a lot of like NPCs moving in video game character ways that didn't like. Sure, maybe it's early, whatever. But like, you know, they have libraries of that stuff. Like they don't have to rebuild it. All right. Don't care about
the play. Sergeant Cynic. Okay.
Keep the show moving.
All right, let's move on to the next game. That was Assassin's Creed Unity, is the next gen one. I think it looks awesome. Current gen.
I think after each of these, we should just at least go, one word, what do you think? I think it's awesome. I can't wait. Durin.
Yeah, I'm hype.
Cynic. All right, so Shinboy. Don't care?
Yeah, man.
All right, cool. Next move. All right.
Next up is Battlefield Hardline.
I don't care.
So who all here actually played the beta so far? I have.
Not me.
I got in and didn't bother.
Anybody else? Nobody?
Okay. Shows you my Battlefield Hardline. This game.
All right. I will take 2 minutes to talk about Battlefield Hardline.
Okay. The floor is yours.
All right. So I didn't play any Battlefield 4. So my point of reference is going to be Battlefield 3. Battlefield Hardline feels like a Battlefield game. It takes the ideas of like a Payday and takes all of the interesting parts and nuance out of the game and throws in Michael Bay explosions and Levolution. The cool part, I guess, you can drive a motorcycle. All right,
so
let's move on.
Here's my stance on it. It seems like the kind of thing that a mod team would make. And
absolutely.
Because a mod team is not making it, and because it's actually being developed by Activision, has me worried that a lot of the interesting stuff you might
see...
Slow
down. You mean EA?
EA, I'm sorry.
Yep. Okay.
Aren't they the same company?
It's essentially the same thing nowadays. Yeah. Well, one successful.
No, you're right.
One's
EA wears those hot suits at.
EA has press conferences hosted by vampires.
Yep. Okay. With a publisher, I feel like they're going to just try and generalize as much as they can, and it won't be like the new stuff for Desert Combat.
Hardline has an interesting idea about it, but it feels like a game that should be launching at like $30.
Yeah,
like exactly. This does not feel like the next big Battlefield.
And also, I think anyone who buys it is a complete idiot because look what the fuck happened to Battlefield 4.
One thing I will say though, and we'll talk about this game that I'm about to mention a little later, but like Battlefield Hardline would have looked really interesting if they wouldn't have announced Rainbow Six Siege.
Yeah,
2 minutes.
Yeah. So, thank you, Cynic. I got a timer going and try to be a bit more.
Yeah, Twiddle, if you want to say something, just yell next time. We're moving on.
I do. I didn't know Hardline was actually a purchasable item. I thought it was just an add-on and everybody could play it. So,
no, it is a $60 game.
Since it's a purchasable add-on, fuck that game.
Yep.
$60 game. Oh, this role is so fucked. They're getting closed after this.
It feels like a multiplayer shooter that was made by a single player studio.
Yep. I don't care about it.
Which it is.
It's a payday. Well,
hopefully, the single player campaign will be out of this world. Dead Space joke. Anyway, Bayonetta 2 is the next game on the list. I think Durin, that's you.
I'm interested in it, but I don't know why. I guess maybe it's because I own a Wii U and God, I need games to play on that thing. because I was not very good at the first Bayonetta, but I guess I'm more interested in like what the fuck that game is. Like why? Like I'm interested in why nobody else would actually pay to release that game.
Yeah.
Why is Bayonetta not sold?
Like Bayonetta sold decent. Like I mean, for a platinum game, it was probably one of their best selling games.
Hmm.
But yeah, like I don't know, like what is that game? Why did nobody else pick it up? It can't be that bad, can
it? It's weird looking at it compared.
If it was that bad, Nintendo wouldn't release it in America. We know that. So
yeah.
But just from an external standpoint, it's weird looking at it compared to some of the shit Nintendo's pumping out because it kind of looks like an early 360 game compared to some of the shit.
Well, it definitely seems a lot more adult than most of the games Nintendo's pushing out.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking about graphics. But yeah, Nintendo's
tone. Well, I mean, to be fair, originally it was probably supposed to be a 360 game.
Yeah, yeah, pretty
much. So there's that. But yeah, I don't know. I'm interested in it.
Have they announced a release date yet?
I would say winter.
Okay, we'll go
September 20th in Japan, according to Wikipedia.
Okay.
Then October in the U.S.
That should be pretty cool. That makes sense. All right, thank you. Next up is from Cappy Games, originally for Xbox One only, but recently announced PC on Steam, Below.
Did you get to play it at PAX?
Yes, I did.
I've played Below, and Thurb has played Below, so we're going to tell you, Durin, about Below.
Having it's played like Dark Souls, at PAX, right? I feel kind of bad because I was one of those dudes that just kept dashing everywhere, trying to see as much of the level as possible instead of enjoying the gameplay. But yeah, it is top-down, isometric, pseudo-Dark Souls-y.
It is tilt-shift Dark Souls. That is the three-word pitch or four-word pitch.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's from the guys who made Super Brothers as well as the recently released Super Time Force. And it looks really nice. It was a game that was Cappy?
Hmm? Super Brothers was Cappy?
Yeah, I believe so. One of the first games.
I'm looking that up.
Yeah, please look that up.
Not Cappy. This is kind of unrelated, so maybe don't count this against the time. But, okay, did Cappy make Critter Crunch?
I am not sure.
Or was that a different Cappy?
They've had to make a bunch of stuff.
They did make Critter Crunch.
Below, it was actually a game that they designed and thought of years ago and put on the shelf because it's the roguelike idea isn't going to catch on. And then Dark Souls happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
That train started catching on fire. And then a bunch of other people got the roguelike train. So they were like, all right, let's develop it.
So I guess my question then real quickly is they decided to go ahead and make this game in a time where they're like, okay, roguelikes are starting to pick up now. You know, people are interested in them. Let's make it. But now we've had 2 million of them. What makes this one special? Aside from Cappy
style.
Yeah, it's style.
It's
style.
It's literally just Cappy making it.
It apparently feels really good to play.
It feels really good to play. Also, it has an atmosphere to it. And as far as I can tell, there are still set destinations that you can get to. I don't know how much of that stuff is randomized and to what extent. But I saw people in areas getting to specific looking areas repeatedly. So I don't know what's up with that.
Underestimate style because Bastion in any normal way isn't particularly.
No, absolutely. I was just curious.
I'm wrapping atmosphere into that as well.
But yeah, definitely. Below is definitely a game you guys want to look on, especially since it's going to come out on PC as well. Moving right along, the next game is Bloodborne, aka Project Beast.
Oh, man.
Can we get 3 minutes of Cynic not getting a chance to talk? Go.
I will start on this. Is that
go for it.
For me, Bloodborne feels like the Dark Souls game that I never played, and I never probably will play. Bloodborne is my Dark Souls. I think I will play.
Bloodborne is a disappointment.
And
what? You're incorrect.
Jeez. So I'm excited for the game because I never played the Dark Souls games or Demon Souls, and I really wanted to, but I didn't want to get into it because everybody had already played it. Even two, I didn't want to get into it because maybe I missed things from the other one. I'm looking at Bloodborne as a fresh reboot for me, someone who's never been into the Dark Souls series, to get into. Shut up. To get into it. So.
Wait, okay. I couldn't understand why somebody who loved Dark Souls so much would hate Bloodborne, and then I remembered, you're from Australia. You guys don't get guns.
Because they're not guns. Like, the reason this looked really interesting from the previews was, like, holy shit, imagine the Dark Souls formula evolved by adding guns to it. But from every description you hear, the guns are just, like, they're essentially just another offhand weapon, just like a crossbow. They're just another crossbow. It's not an interesting evolution.
I like
evolution.
What you're saying about being aggressive instead of reactive, and I like the style of it compared to the sort of fantasy style of the other games, which I think is boring.
Style is cool, but this to me seems just like the early 2000s era of Zeldas, where like Skyward Sword was just like a slight remix of the Zelda formula. That's the same thing I feel about this in terms of Bat versus Demon.
Souls. Would you feel the same way if Dark Souls 2 didn't exist?
No, I wouldn't. Like, honestly, I wouldn't. And the fact that I played Demon Souls, Dark Souls, and Dark Souls 2 over the last couple of years maybe is coloring me quite a bit. But a lot of people have done that as well.
And so I guess that's the other thing, too, though, is, like, Dark Souls 2 was the game not made by the Dark Souls guy. And
this Hideo is the game Miyazaki made
by the Dark Souls guy. So, like, how can you not be interested in this knowing that it's probably
going to be better than Dark Souls 2? Because they're not different enough. I don't think they've done enough to evolve the formula. The fact that they were describing, okay, you still kill dudes, there's still that soul-sucking sound. Like, the fact that all those things are still in place, so a lot of people, they're looking at that, they're having this weird nostalgia for a game that only came out like 3 years ago. I don't understand that. For me, it's just like, okay, you need to actually take steps.
You know what? As long as they've upgraded the grass, the walking through grass sound, I'm sold.
As long as they've updated the inventory and the menu, I'm sold.
I can tell this is a Souls game because in that gameplay demo that I saw off-screen footage of, it was running like ass.
Yeah, so take it from everyone but Cynic that Bloodborne is a game that you should at least look forward to in the future.
I'm actually somewhat interested.
Reveal more information about it.
Well, okay, I would say if you are interested in the Dark Souls formula, look forward to that one. If you have no interest in it, ignore it because it's not going
to
bring anything different to the table.
If they cut out a lot of the bullshit in the Souls games.
This is made by the guy who made Demon Souls.
Yeah, this is going to be chock-full bullshit, probably.
But I could see maybe Sony stepping in and saying, like, I'm talking not a lot of the mechanical stuff, like a lot of the stuff that's super vague and not a good way.
The stat stuff and the UI stuff. Yeah, and everything.
That's what I mean.
Okay, just making the UI more approachable.
I was playing Dark Souls 2 earlier today, and yeah, it still needs work. Dark Souls 2 wasn't there yet. It still needs work. Hopefully this makes some steps forward there.
So that has been Bloodborne. Coming up next, the fishing simulator with Kevin Spacey, The House of COD.
Yes.
Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Who is hyped for this?
I'm hyped because Kevin Spacey's in it. That's about it.
I wouldn't say hype, but it's probably the first time I've been interested in Call of Duty since Modern Warfare 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? I feel like they're changing. Yeah, it feels like they're changing enough of the formula now that
making it like Titanfall.
Like, yeah, you have to remember though, Cynic. Like, I bought Modern Warfare 1, and my friend bought me Modern Warfare 2. Those are the last Call of Duty games I played. So I've been like out for long enough now. It's kind of like Madden for me. Like every few years, okay. I jump back in.
Yeah. All right.
Is this Sledgehammer's first full game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a long time since the skateboarding one, I think.
No, I mean, like, first full Call of Duty game.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I'm interested.
It's borrowed in a lot from, like, Killzone and sci-fi that I can definitely see why people are interested in it. I was not expecting to see what I saw during the press conference when they showed that game. It surprised me.
After Titanfall, I was absolutely not surprised to see what I saw in that.
Right. That, really? Like, because
the, I,
There's overlap in the jump time of those.
Right, that's the whole idea. Like they took the smart things from Titanfall and implemented it into Call of Duty in a smart way and didn't take the bullshit from Titanfall. Like,
Whoa.
Right, I don't know. We can save that. We can save that hash out
five
for
who are still playing Titanfall.
Discussion for another episode. We have more games to get to. It's codename STEAM.
Codename Steam. Who's excited? I'm excited.
What is this?
I think it's
this
Nintendo
is the Intelligent
thing?
Systems game.
Yeah, this is Intelligent Systems.
This is the Intelligent Systems
RPG that stars Abraham Lincoln.
This is what is it? Valkyria Chronicles, made by Intelligent Systems, involving steampunk Abraham Lincoln telling you to fight aliens.
Which platform?
3DS. It's an Intelligent Systems game. It's a mobile game.
Okay,
mobile. I'm sold. Sold.
Intelligent Systems Therb are the Fire Emblem, Advance Wars, Pushmo people.
Oh, okay.
So I was not sold until Shinboy told me it was Advance Wars people, and then I'm kind of halfway on board now.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I don't really have a particular connection to that premise, but I love them, so sure.
It's based in like steampunk Victorian London, and you're a special task force set up by fictionalized version of Abraham Lincoln to fight off an alien invasion.
Steampunk Victorian London or steampunk Victorian Japan London?
The game takes place in a steampunk fantasy version of London. Intelligent Systems is a Japanese studio, so probably so Victorian London. Japanese London.
Okay. There's a very distinct difference.
I think there's video out there. I haven't seen any of it because that like event where they unveiled it was not live streamed and was invite only, which was real strange. Was
it wasn't live streamed. There was no video that went out. Like I literally got it all from Nintendo's official Twitter. As it was coming out.
Yeah. Apparently, it also involves
Nintendo's trying all different things with this new like live streaming and internet, technology.
With this new internet technology.
Apparently, the dude who was the producer was involved in Xenoblade or something as well.
Yeah,
very cool.
I thought the writing's good.
The game's art style will be heavily influenced by the Silver Age of comic books. Yada yada yada. The designs for the enemy alien creatures are heavily influenced by the works of H.P. Lovecraft. This is just a mashup of all kinds of crazy things.
That sounds
as long
good.
As the writing is good developer,
by a very, very good developer, especially in that type of game on that type of platform.
Cool.
All right, so next on the list is Costume Quest 2, which I think I'm the only one who wrote this down.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Basically, it's I've been digging a lot of the Double Fine stuff. What's that, Twiddle?
You wear a costume and then play a game. Is that right? Is that how that works?
The original Costume Quest was you were either a brother or a sister of the other sibling, and the sibling you didn't choose got kidnapped, and you had to, like in RPG style, go out with your friends and do fights and stuff. And depending on your costume was depending on your class and your abilities. So,
The first Costume Quest was super charming, but I think it's also the only game in history that is 3 hours long and overstays its welcome.
Wow. So yeah, that's
like, it was super charming, but like it was not a game that at all warranted a sequel.
Yeah. Especially if you look at some of the other Double Fine stuff. If there only there was another Double Fine game that people have been asking for a sequel for years.
Where is Brutal Legend 2?
Exactly.
What? Probably
exactly
held what up saying. In like legal issues.
Oh, whatever. God, Jack Black is totally on board.
God, don't
on board doesn't mean the people who own the IP are totally on board.
I have Brutal Legends. I've never played it. Should I play it? Is that a thing I should actually play?
You should watch the intro video play the game.
You should. Okay. You should go into it knowing that the last two thirds is an RTS, and then yes, you should play it.
Okay.
I just wish they'd send these same development resources towards that thing Brad Mirror is working on, because that game sounds fucking awesome.
That's going along smoothly. Massive they've been Chalice. Doing. Anybody wants to know about Massive Chalice? They've been doing regular Twitch streams that anybody can watch, backers or non-backers. Yeah. And a lot of this stuff's been going on. It's really neat. I think they're called Team Streams with Massive Chalice. Twitch.tv/DoubleFine. Anyway,
I bet they could have used like five more dudes.
Costume Quest is being made by the Midnight City people, and a lot of stuff that they've been like working with is like Video Ball, Crowdscape, a lot of games that I think are interesting.
The indies. The publisher, right?
Yeah, they're the publisher, like, studio. I'm not sure who exactly made
Midnight City is... Well, Double Fine's making it, I would assume. Midnight City is the indie branch of Majesco.
Yes.
Interestingly enough.
Which is cool on the stock ticker.
So, like the first game, this Costume Quest 2 segment has overstayed its welcome.
Yeah. Time.
All right. I was just trying to get to that. You guys want to talk about Brutal Legend and other stuff during that time segment. Anyway.
I saw a good segue and I took it.
Yep. All right. And the last one for this bit before we go to a quick break is Destiny.
Which was the thing that I realized I forgot. Because I played a lot of Destiny.
Yes.
That game looks fucking awesome. I don't know.
So we'll probably use it to spend more than 5 minutes, but yeah, let's go around why we're hyped for.
This is the last one before the break. What did you say, Senek? I legitimately didn't hear you.
The game looks fucking awesome.
Oh, I thought you said awful, and I was about to get very angry.
That game awesome. Looks awful. Shinboy, tell me why I am wrong.
Because I don't like the Halo games, and I think that game feels great.
Nice. Yeah.
Which is weird. Yeah. I think it's the Iron Sights, like whoever mentioned before.
Yeah, I like the Halo game. It is a Halo game with Iron Sights, which fixes everything about Halo.
I don't know whether it's the DualShock 4, because I really like that controller, and I'm not a big Xbox pad fan for shooters. Like, I pretty much just use it for whatever PC games doesn't support the DualShock 4.
Mm-hmm.
I got a class up to max level in that thing, which is 8. I like that all of your gear and all of your skills level independently of your character level.
Right.
It seems like the character level is not like the character level cap is not very high.
Right.
It seems like it might only be 20.
Yeah. Anybody interested? I believe Giant Bomb does have an unfinished episode of the alpha of that, so it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah.
So Shinboy, I only played basically that first mission that like it jumps you into.
No rush.
And then as soon as it opened up right after that, like I stopped and I never got a chance to go back. I wasn't super sold on it based on that mission. Do I just need to play more? Like, is that just
you want to know why? Because that first mission highlights my biggest problem with that game, especially the end part. You know, with like the witch or whatever, the wizard, whatever that was.
It's from the moon.
Don't you said the line that no, I didn't want us to get. I'm gonna have to edit that out.
That highlights my biggest problem with Destiny is that Bungie's encounter design is terrible and always has been.
Whoa!
I think
every single Halo boss is bad.
The issue I had with it is the same issue I have with Borderlands, in that like every enemy is just a fucking bullet sponge.
Yeah,
the enemies are bullet sponges. Is that there's a big bullet sponge and it's throwing thousands of other enemies at you at the same time.
I feel like that the episode or the fight with the wizard is supposed to be more like, you know, a super badass elite, whereas the boss fights are the group ones that are this massive spider that shows up every hour, like, you know, once an hour sort of thing that they've mentioned.
I'm talking like the strike, because like the strike is basically their dungeons, right? And I played it on the default brave difficulty, and then I went through it, didn't get all the way through because I just ran out of time and had to go somewhere on legendary.
Was this solo, by the way, or did you ever run into any other players?
It matchmakes you.
Okay.
For the strike. You get a straight up like multiplayer-esque searching for other guardians, like spinning circle with a 1 out of 3.
Guardian's just like the generic word for fight, like for player.
Guardian,
right?
Is like is player characters.
Okay.
Player, yeah.
That's what all the NPCs refer to you as. They actually refer to you by your class, which is kind of neat. Like, I picked up the Warlock, and the merchant was like, or the gunsmith was like, need a new weapon, Warlock, stuff like that.
It's cool to VO, but very cool.
Yeah.
I say for me, I didn't get to play the game itself, but I'm more excited for Destiny for another reason, and I think Shinboy can be a test to this. The white PS4.
I'm sorry. The Glacier white.
The Glacier. Yes.
Glacier. Glacier.
I'm picking one up just for that.
It seems really good. It turned me around. I was pretty down on Destiny going in, and I was like, if the beta is more open and has another strike that isn't terrible in it, I'll probably end up getting it. Because the fights against like the quote-unquote trash are actually very fun.
Yeah, because they still hit early, hard. Like, when you said Bungie does bad encounter design, I was going to say, like, no, their actual like everyday fights with normal dudes are usually really good. It's their boss fights that are just fucking shit always.
Okay, let's talk about this as if it's an MMO, because it basically is.
Yeah.
You go to those dungeons for the big like boss encounters. That's what makes them fun.
And well, I don't, but
these are not fun. Like I'm talking about, like if you go to if you are doing an MMO dungeon for fun, it is likely because there is a boss fight there that you enjoy.
Right, like you're not going to MMOs to fight trash, or into MMO dungeons to fight trash.
There's a reason it's called trash.
Right.
Fair enough.
And those are fine, but the bosses are just they're so bad.
So the other issue I noticed, even just in the little bit that I played of it, is that even in that like introductory mission they throw you into, it is very easy to just like accidentally go the wrong direction and oh, there's a bunch of level 7 enemies who are just gonna fucking right my face.
You know where you spawn in that one zone that was free roam? Like there's the building right in front of you.
Right.
You can go downstairs, and I was just, you know, I was running around just to explore.
Yeah, I did that.
I ran into dudes that were level question mark.
Yep.
And that's so they weird. Almost killed me instantly.
Wow.
Yeah, I did the same. It's a little rough. I'm hoping that that's just like alpha stuff, like they just kind of piece this stuff together just to test stuff. I'm hoping the game is a little bit more, I wouldn't say restrictive, but like... The level differentials between like you and what you can encounter, I'm hoping, are not quite that extreme in the final game.
But I mean, it was extremely out of the way.
I didn't feel like it was. Like I was just kind of exploring the area, and the first place I found was going downstairs.
Well, that seems that like a thing that you can excuse it for being an alpha. We'll see how that plays out with the beta. And
yeah,
that game is done.
Yeah, I know. Well, that like so it's the, not. It's, well, the development like of it is
a slice of the game.
But in terms of like this mission has these units. On it or something like they could probably fiddle with that sound.
Yeah, but I like the way their gear and inventory system works. You can tell it's early because you just have a cursor that you move around with the analog stick. I don't think that'll be final. At least I hope not.
Super weird. Especially given that like the touchpad doesn't work with it.
Yeah, the way they manage inventory by like it's just one button to break down a thing, which gives you a universal currency plus some other parts that you can maybe use for crafting.
Break it down for Omnigel.
All that stuff seems pretty great.
I think that one point from earlier it kind of rings true for me is the fact that it's like Guild Wars 1 was half the reason I'm sold on it.
Because, it's actually very similar to Guild Wars 2 in its structure as I was playing it.
It's like a good mix between the two.
Like, it's like if you fused the sort of level structure of Guild Wars 2 with the multiplayer style of Journey, where you have like the big open world but broken up into zones. Like Guild Wars, and those zones are separate from the dungeons and separate from the city and separate from the story.
Yeah.
Like, which is the case in both these games, but you're sort of getting matched with people nearby like you are in Journey. And there's like public events and stuff.
We should probably move on.
Yeah, I will say an ending point. Like, we'll go around doing ending points and then call it this first bit done. But in defense of their crappy boss fights, apart from like, several years ago with like I don't know, like Serious Sam maybe. It's hard to recall a good first person shooter boss fight. Like the Borderlands.
There's a reason why
was terrible. Like
modern first person shooters don't use boss fights.
Yeah. Like that is an issue that they are having to face with this development. So we only saw one or two boss fights, so hopefully how the rest will happen. And this game will live or die by how much content they have post-release.
This may be a discussion for another time, but what I think we should bring up next time, what would make a good boss fight?
We should do that at some point.
That would be a great thing for next time, but I don't have time now.
Shinboy, closing thoughts on Destiny?
I actually think those boss fights would be all right, especially the second one, like the last one in the dungeon, if they just toned down the number of adds and how much damage they do. Oh my god. Also, they have ads run back to your spawn, so you know you'll spawn and it's like, oh hey, there's an elite staring me in the face. Oh god, I'm dead again.
Nice, Durin.
Yeah, I want to play a little bit more of the beta. I feel like I did myself a disservice by only playing that first mission because I'm actually less interested in the game now than I have been since I pre-ordered it last year. But given how into it everyone seems to be, I just imagine I just need to play a little bit more of it.
Yeah, and just making sure, did you pre-order it on PS4?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because this is not coming out on PC.
Yeah.
And
it looks Cynic? it does look really good. I will say that.
Oh yeah, it looks very nice.
Cynic? It looks all right.
I think he looks okay. I don't know. It's especially kind of compared to some of the other stuff we've seen. I don't think he looks as good as even like Assassin's Creed, the newer one, let alone some of the other stuff. But anyway, it's essentially freaking Halo plus Guild Wars. There's both things I like. So yeah, sold. Day one, gonna be there.
All right, and Squiddle, last on the table.
Yeah, we are positive. 100% no PC for Destiny, right?
Yes, not at launch.
So far.
Not at launch.
I'm not looking at launch. I feel this may take the GTA route, Rockstar route, of it comes out, and maybe a year later we get a PC.
Here's the thing, though. The last Bungie game that came out on PC was Halo 2, so I wouldn't hold your breath for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is weird, because Bungie used to be a PC developer, so who knows?
Yeah, but this isn't Microsoft.
Like, actually, Bungie used to be an Apple developer.
True.
So.
Yeah.
And we will return with editing magic, probably a couple seconds, with the rest of the E3 list.
The Scooby-Doo ending. Look forward to it.
Five-minute break for everyone, just a stretch and all that, bathroom.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll be back. Cool.
Cynic, can you take more, or not Cynic, Shinboy, can you take more drugs? I think it was a yes.
He just passed out on the floor.
Beer about taking these headphones off for a few minutes and getting a drink.
Welcome back. I'll be taking this third, because, yeah, Thurb is wrong. We apparently have more games to talk about than we remembered. Third of this podcast to cover D2N, apparently, starting with Dragon Age Inquisition. Hey, guys, everyone's still here. Thoughts?
I'm excited for Dragon Age.
It was on my list. It was on my personal list.
I was super excited for the first Dragon Age, second Dragon Age. Like, I didn't even know it happened. The first Dragon Age kind
Neither did the developers.
The first Dragon Age burned me out in terms of just, like, it felt like a constant chess game, which I couldn't do for 4 hours.
Like, I couldn't do it for 40, no.
Like, Durin says, like, he's been replaying it on easy mode. I think I played on easy mode, and still that was too much of a headache for me, just because all my guys kept dying.
Really?
Maybe they patched it or something.
I think the first game had better. I don't like RTS games, but I think the first game had better controls than the second game. The second game,
it's not an RTS. So
I know. RTS, it's.
But I guess I should make it so. In the first game, I don't remember pausing as much to attack. Let me rephrase that. I remember pausing a lot, setting my characters up and attacking. And the second one, it felt like they were forcing me to just kind of attack with your character. And then other characters do, whatever. And I want more of the set your characters up and then run with scenario. And I like that about that game. So I'm hoping there's more.
So you want something more like maybe – are you wanting something more like one, or are you wanting something kind of in between one and two?
Maybe more like one, maybe in between one and two, but not two.
Because I think that's what I'm getting at with this.
I think that's what they're going for. Yeah.
Given what, like, I didn't play a lot of the old school PC RPGs. Like, I was not an Icewind Dale or Baldur's Gate person. The Baldur's Gate that I knew was the Dark Alliance games for the PlayStation. Like, that was my Baldur's Gate. So, like, I didn't play the super hardcore stuff. So playing this one and, like, having that idea of having to, like, pause combat and set all your shit up was not fun to me at all. I think that's why I'm enjoying playing the first one on the easy like I am. But I will say, like, I don't want to necessarily go the hack and slash route either. So I think I'm kind of with you. Like, I want something kind of in between, like a little bit of strategy, like, you know, maybe on some of the tougher stuff, have to kind of pause things, line guys up, that kind of stuff. But maybe not to the extreme that the first game did, where it was, you spend more time paused than you did actually watching the action unfold.
Yeah. I definitely think I'd be okay with, like, needing to pause on, like, select fights, like, pause a lot of the fight, but I almost kind of need that, you know, the joke about, like, I need the trash, because if it's constant stress, I'm not going to, I can't do it. I can't.
I looking from the other perspective, I just hope the fucking the actual character building, storytelling, that stuff is good in this one. Because I can live with bad combat, but not that bad a combat. I can live with combat and in the order of Dragon Age 2, maybe a little bit better than that, close to Dragon Age 1. But I can't live with the storytelling of Dragon Age 2. I just didn't like it. I want the depth. I want the individuality of the stuff from Dragon Age 1. There's a reason why people still remember those characters and happy to see them coming back versus
Cynic, anyone from Dragon Age 2. The stuff they've been talking about, the Moradin and all that, those characters, have they been saying the right things from what you are? Okay.
Because they've just been saying it. They haven't shown anything. They haven't given me proof of it actually being better now.
At their E3 stage, they had a person playing some instrument for the game.
Lute?
Oh, no. You mean the electric cello?
Yeah.
It was a good performance. Was it actually an electric cello?
Yes, it was. They were on stage playing electric cello to the trailer.
It was a good performance. It was weird, but a good performance. I actually enjoyed.
It was. It was just. It was.
Who is this? Who is this serving? The fans certainly it's cool, but we'd like to see gameplay instead.
I want to note, having seen gameplay, that game looks fucking.
You know what? That electric cellist, she got a gig. So good on her.
Any other thoughts on Dragon Age? I thought it looks awesome. I'm hoping I'm going to see reviews.
I'm 20 hours into the first game. So I guess I'm kind of in.
Nice.
Yeah.
See?
Cool. All right. Moving on. Elite Dangerous. I don't know what this is. So I haven't even put a time on
that. I think I'm the only one who put that on my list. And I think it's in alpha, right? The early access or something right now.
Yeah, I think it's early access.
Pretty much it started about the same time as Star Citizen, but didn't get the fanfare and major funding that Star Citizen did, mainly because it seemed like they weren't trying to bend to every whim of the crowdfunding people. If you can give us $1,000, you'll get this awesome ship that even if it gets destroyed, you'll get a new one for free, which is what they've been doing for Star Citizen. And I'm sure any listeners of Star Citizen will be emailing us.
For ship insurance.
Yeah, emailing us about how wrong I am, but...
Also, I watch videos of that cockpit module in Star Citizen, and that looks fucking rad.
that looks rad, but then by that same token, the Elite Dangerous looks pretty good, and also, their docking thing looks really neat as well, I guess.
Also, but here's the thing, though. I saw that thing from Star Citizen that you're talking about. Art-wise, yes, it looks really good. It looks clunky as fuck. Those animations.
I'm just saying, the dude walked up to his ship and he got in, and all of the crazy futuristic UI started popping up in the ship, and the bay doors opened, and the light from the nearest star started filtering in, and I just could not handle myself.
Yeah, I get okay.
This seems it's got that. It actually looks like a really interesting game. This actually looks really good.
Ironically enough, this game reminds me more of Freelancer, which is the game made by Chris Roberts, who's the person who's making Star Citizen.
I remember that game.
Star Citizen seems to have more of a focus on capital ships, and while Elite Dangerous has big ships with mounted turret guns, it doesn't feel like capital ships, at least from what people have told me.
On the list of bad games, bad names for games on this list, Elite Dangerous is probably the fucking worst name.
Yeah, it's a terrible name.
Logo treatment.
Should we call it Elite : Danger?
That is what it's titled as. We will put that in the running with Tomb Raider 2, The Rise of Tomb Raider.
Oh my god. All right,
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Well, no. It's not even Tomb Raider 2. It's literally just The Rise of the Tomb Raider. Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, put too much on the part 3 segment.
All right. I do need to say this about Elite Dangerous, though.
That's good.
It's not in early access. It's in beta. In order to get into the beta, you must pay them $150.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Which goes back to people who are willing to try this out can. So whatever.
I know another game that you have to pay $150 to get into the beta too, and that one's not very good. Okay. So
the other neat thing about Elite Dangerous is the scale of it.
I'm
not really sure. Like, they haven't talked a lot about Star System Scale, but Elite Dangerous is the known Milky Way galaxy. So, a lot of territory to cover.
So, okay, question I have about this game, and we'll get into why this is important later, but in Elite Dangerous or Star Citizen, do either of these games allow you to go from space into an atmosphere of a planet seamlessly?
I'm pretty sure not seamlessly. I'm pretty sure Star Citizen has first person esque, but I think that's only restricted to the ships. I don't think
Actually, flying.
We'll get there eventually, Duran.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually.
We'll get there.
Let's move on. So moving on. Everyone's entwined.
I tried ending that three times.
Who had this on their list? I don't. It seems
like I have it on my list because I bought it.
Is it good?
It's all right.
Yeah,
it looks it's not mind blowing amazing.
Yeah, it's a neat game that is, I think, truly indie. It's made by the student project, picked up by Sony.
But it is truly indie. It is truly indie being funded by a multi-billion-dollar international corporation.
Yeah, I didn't say independent. I said indie.
Didn't mean the word that you used a shortened version of.
Think about it. There's a difference between indie movies and independent films.
No, there's not.
This game.
Maybe if you're a snob about
anyway, it seems like just a weird color version of just like the same concept of Brothers. Yeah, like, you know, it's each for each.
It's kind of like that as well. With, what was that game? Child of Eden.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's kind of like that.
I was say, it reminded me of like Brothers meets Tempest.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, and like that's the price is pretty like what, $10?
$10. I had like $8 on my PSN account already, so I'm like, I'll buy this game.
Nice. Yeah, it seems like a cool game to
get on your radar. It looks really good. Music's really good. And it does a fantastic thing. There's no real storyline.
You should probably explain the gameplay, which we haven't.
It's basically, you have like, imagine a circle. The left analog stick controls the left ship on the left half of the circle. Same thing on the right with the right analog stick and the right ship. And you have to try and fly them simultaneously through different obstacles.
Are they ships? I thought they were creatures.
Bug creatures. It's like a little bird thing. It's like a bird and a fish.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And they form to make a dragon.
But the best...
Alex sold me on it.
It's very relaxing.
Yeah. I just wish it was more like Flower in that the actual story of it was like a major part, because it's adorable. Like, I like the idea behind
it. There's a little like sort of mini story. Like, it's kind of adorable when you get near the end of a level and like the meters just sort of join them, starts filling up, and then it goes through a crazy animation where they like form into a mighty dragon. But one of my favorite little features, which I wish, like outside from liking the game, I wish more games did, is if you go to How to Play, it takes you into a little tutorial level, which then immediately, without going back to any menu or anything, continues straight on into the first level.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool.
So you can start the game by hitting like How to Play, which I thought was neat.
All right, moving on. Next game would be Everybody's Going to the Rapture, which is on my list. Was it on anyone else's list?
Nope.
It's on the opposite of a list, if that's a thing.
I didn't even know about this game.
This, I think, is the next game by...
From the Dearesta guys.
Yeah. Well, the Dear Esther guys who the Chinese Room, that's the name.
Yep, the Chinese Room. And I just think it looks really damn cool. And there's not really much you can get out of E3 for it, because this put out a trailer that says really nothing about the plot, because really these games are all about their plot. Dear Esther was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty emotive. It did its job well. The main thing I found about it is that it was staggeringly beautiful, and I just hope they give me an environment to explore it like they did then. That's really all
so
I have to say.
Is this like the Dear Esther in that it's just a walking simulator?
It looks to be the case, yes.
We cannot comment on any level of interactivity. So it looks damn good.
I'm not saying that as like a knock necessarily. I wasn't sure if there was like actual interaction or
is this
anything
like
in this
Dear
one,
Esther where they couldn't form a coherent narrative.
They
couldn't.
Or like Amnesia Machine for Pigs, where they couldn't really make a scary situation.
I'm saying they couldn't form a good like point A to point B narrative, so they couldn't make a movie out of it, so they had to break it up into a game where you found it in little pieces.
Yeah, but it was really effective. Like, I actually found it a good experience, so I don't know. It's not for everyone, but it's something that was exciting. Moving on.
Something to keep on the radar.
Yeah, The Evil Within. Who had this on the list?
It might have been me.
I have it on A-list. It's not the list that you're hoping
As
for.
Somebody who has been a big fan of Resident Evil for a very long time, so much so that I actually suffered through the entirety of Resident Evil 6.
I'm sorry. I'm
really hoping this game is better than it seems like everybody that has played it seems to think it's going to be.
That's the sad part. Like,
I just want survival horror to come back, guys. I just want, like
when it was announced, I had such high hopes, and then I heard all
Silent Hill used to be so good. Resident Evil used to be so good. Why did Down Horror and 6 have to happen?
No innovation from their previous ideas of games.
Chasing the money of action stuff. That's what it really comes down to. I don't know. This game looks interesting. I think a lot of the biggest complaint, it seems like the Giant Bomb guys have had, is the visual look of the game, which, of course, it doesn't look great. It's a last-gen game. That doesn't really bug me so much. Like, I just hope the horror is there. Like, I hope that it goes back to the old school, like, limited resources. You are not some god with a ridiculously powerful shotgun. Like, that's all I really want. Like, give me... I guess what I'm saying is, like, remake Resident Evil 2 like you did the first game. Come on, Capcom. What the fuck you doing?
Okay, yeah, can I go on derail this show completely and go on a quick tangent?
Sure.
Just because the Webum that I put in chat about Star Citizen, I was looking at Star Citizen stuff this whole time, and there's apparently a mod where you can do voice commands for literally everything. So you can just be like, set reader shields to 100%, and, like, a computer lady in the game responds, Reader shield set to 100%, and it shows up on screen.
I might have to get a flight stick, guys. That's
you don't need a flight stick, though. You can just do it by voice.
It'll just be like, tag nearest target, and then, like, the crazy UI will fly up and show up around the nearest enemy, and it'll be like, nearest target, sent to your radar. Like, goddamn it, game.
Yeah, you just give them $1,000, and they'll fly the ship for you.
All right. I have to buy into that.
No. Backing up and moving on. Far Cry 4.
Yes.
This game looked fucking cool.
Yes.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Far Cry 3 was really fun, and I didn't know how they would do it again, and they did it again.
Dude.
Except, I will say, they literally did it again. So yeah, I don't know. Like, Voss 2.0 seems kind of cool, but...
Yeah. Well, I liked it because, like, holy shit, it was actually fucking set in, like, the Indian Nepalese region. I saw it, and I was like, and as a Indian origin person myself, I was like, holy cow, that's actually interesting to me. Even though I've been there and a lot of those regions,
right,
it portrayed in a game and seeing, like, a westernized take on it is like actually kind of cool. I was surprised.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Being able to ride elephants pretty much sells me. Like, I'm going to buy it, of course.
One worry is that...
I was hoping to see if they actually try to shoot one of the elephants to see if anything would happen.
You monster! You sick son of elephants!
Like, you know, I was curious to see if it would actually do anything.
The only reason you'd want to kill an elephant is if you kill enough of them, you get a bigger wallet.
Here's the real question. When you kill an elephant, do you get elephant hide or do you get ivory?
Ooh.
Ivory, come on.
Anyway, my one worry is that there was a big different distance between Far Cry 2 and Far Cry 3 in terms of, like, times of release. If, like, Far Cry 3 was, like, amazingly successful, and if this becomes even, like, moderately successful, will this just become another yearly churn bucket?
Absolutely, it will.
But I hope not, because I'd like to see the innovation between different games. And
here's the thing, though, is, like, the interest in Assassin's Creed is starting to kind of wane at this point, so they need something else to kind of pick up the slack, and if Far Cry can be it, they'll absolutely jump on it.
I can see that, but I would hope that Far Cry doesn't become another Assassin's Creed where it's the same game mechanic over and over until that gets bogged down, and then you have some other new game that comes along and says, I can shoot a grapple hook differently.
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, at least Ubisoft seems like they're smart about it, and if that is their plan, at least they're willing. They have kind of something waiting, on the bench, ready to be the next yearly franchise.
Yeah, they're still trying to. Rather than writing
one into the fucking ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll get to the Tom Clancy's later on, but yeah.
Anything else before? I was really impressed.
Yeah, it looks really interesting. The wingsuit stuff was really cool.
The co-op seems really neat. Like the way they're it's like you don't have to own the game and you will just download a small.
I don't know. It seemed really neat until Adam Boyes actually explained it on that show, and then it seems kind of fucking stupid. Like, you literally, you buy the game, you get 10 codes you can give out to friends, and they can play with you for a very, limited period of time.
I'd like to think that is, like, the free version of it, and then, like, if they own the game, they can straight up run with you. Like, indefinitely.
I hope so. Well, but at the same time, like, it doesn't matter, because, like, as soon as you go into multiplayer, like you said, even aside from outside of that, as soon as you go multiplayer, all objectives are turned off. So, like, you cannot play through the campaign co-op.
But I thought the campaigns were based on co-op.
No,
you could do with people. Okay, I guess.
No, well, in Far Cry 3, there was a straight co-op campaign that was not like that was distant from the like that was a linear thing.
Oh, whereas, God, I forgot it existed.
This they're trying to make it more open world co-op.
But let's. I guess we should talk seriously. Who plays games with other people? I mean, that's not a thing.
Oh fuck no, God no! I only play every MMO.
All MMOs really should be played by yourself and no one else.
That's cool. So nice. Yep. Moving on. GTA 5 for PC. Hey, that's happening. Moving on.
Okay.
I am super excited for the PC release.
I just want to say right now on the record, fuck Rockstar because I love the games they put out, but I'm all about. I like the hype train. I like buying into the hype train. And I would have jumped on GTA 5 as immediately as it came out on PC if it came out with the other console releases. But now seeing all, the issues and maybe little things that I may not like about it, I don't know if I'm going to get it. This may be the first GTA I never buy because of that. And they need to stop treating the PC market like it's bullshit, in my opinion. So.
Are GTA games ever on Steam sale or ever really cheap?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That is why I'm excited for it. Not because I'm going to get it soon, but because I'm going to get it later.
Okay,
I agree with you though, Squiddle. Like, except for me, it's not fuck you for waiting so long to release GTA on PC. It's fuck you for releasing GTA 5 on PC and basically solidifying that you're skipping over Red Dead on PC at this point.
Good point.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
I would still got a bit to say about GTA 5 PC.
Really? What do you have to say about it? It's GTA 5 on the PC. It's just an announcement of a port.
I'm super excited for all the dumb mods. Basically, I'm envisioning like what we thought of Just Cause 2, but finally in the in the GTA 5 world, because modders will make that happen. Maybe not necessarily the turbo function of Just Cause 2, but like 30-man servers and all sorts of like craziness that will happen, and you can play as the Hulk and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and just the no friction stuff. That interests me. Like the community taking that game to shreds.
But hasn't been confirmed that workshop support is going to come with it.
It doesn't need workshop support.
We don't know much about
it. I know it doesn't need it, but that would be a benefit. If it did, then maybe I would look at it. But
that would be a huge thing from Rockstar, and I don't think they would do it. Anyway, that's my bit for GTA 5. That's why I'm excited. All right.
So moving on, Grim Fandango announced out of fucking nowhere. I don't have much to say about this game. I just thought someone might because it was on someone's list.
I haven't played it yet, and as previously mentioned, a lot of the Double Fine stuff I really enjoy, and that is held in such high revere from people whose opinion I respect. I'm psyched, and it is on my radar to watch, and is one of the things, one of many things that is making me really want to buy a Glacier White PS4.
I watched the video, I guess that Giant Bomb put out, or a tweet somewhere that Tim Schafer did. I guess the combination talking about Grim Fandango, like showed when he was talking about it when he was younger, and how it became to fruition, and I fell in love with the concept, with the idea. And I never played it. I saw it, but when I saw the game years ago, I thought, this looks like a shitty game. Why would I want to play this? It looks blocky. It looks crappy. Why would I want to play it? But seeing him talk as passionately as he did about it, and knowing, honestly, who Tim Schafer is at this point in my life, I definitely am so excited to play this game and relive it.
Hey, Squiggle, apparently, you can play as a skeleton wearing a suit.
Yep. Apparently that clip, because I know which one you're talking about, is part of like a much longer full documentary.
Oh, yeah, two-player makes some really good stuff.
I'd love to see a full documentary, but I love that little clip I saw, and I was like, yes, I am so into getting ready to play that when it comes out.
I've yet to be sold on it, but you're right. Like, so many people love that game that there has to be something there to see.
And the way Sony is, like, especially like Adam Boyd was pushing to make that a reality, mm-hmm. if it flops, you will always see it on PlayStation Plus.
The biggest question I have, though, is, like, coming from this Grim Fandango stuff, what the fuck is Vib Ribbon? Why do some people care about Vib Ribbon?
I don't know what it was. I had no idea
Vib Ribbon. It was like the audio surf of its day sort of thing, right? Is that you would put in music and then you would platform to it?
Yeah, Vib Ribbon is just charming as all hell, though.
Yeah.
It also never came out in the US.
That's so fucking... It just looks weird. It's like a rabbit made of, like, lines.
Vibri, excuse me?
Okay. Vibri, moving on. Halo 5, which is on my list, and I don't think anyone else is. I like the idea of what they're doing with that. The moment they had footage of Master Chief pushing that fucking bomb out the side of the fucking ship, I was like, okay, if they're going to be spending this game like reflecting on some of the awesome moments from past, or potentially having like that reverence for the Master Chief and like what he's going through with. Oh, I guess I can't really spoil the end of Halo 4, but stuff happens to Master Chief and Cortana. Shit gone down. He's going to sort shit out, and another dude's going to come in. Hopefully, that's going to be interesting and in the order of the other side characters they've introduced in the past. Hopefully, it's cool. Hopefully, the storyline isn't all over the fucking place, and you have to read a million things to get it done, which is what they've said they're going to work on. I'm excited. Anyone else care?
We've all stopped listening to what you're saying.
I've been listening to buy
Star Citizen stuff.
I'm mostly excited about the fact that they understand that they fucked up on anniversary or Halo anniversary or whatever, and that this one includes all of the original multiplayers on their original engines.
That's talking about not this. That's the Halo Master Chief collection.
Oh, fuck Halo 5.
That is.
I mean, like, right. Yeah.
I'm sorry, collection. I was against citizenships.
Halo 5, I am meh about. I am more interested in the Master Chief edition.
Only
because I would have loved to see that go to PC. I mean, people are still playing Halo 1 on PC when you can't play that on Xbox. And really, I would love... I don't even want that Master Chief edition. I just want ODST and Reach.
Oh,
I don't care about the others.
I literally don't care about it at all. Like those
I like how you can play.
Those are the two I care most about.
I understand that. I'm asking why.
I like the idea of not being a superpowered guy and just like having. It seems a more appealing fight to me, especially with the ODST. The Reach stuff, not as much, but like the diversity of it was cool.
I only have the issue that because what it really translated to was you're Master Chief, but you can do less. That's how it felt when playing those games. It didn't really translate to you're way less powerful. You're just still kind of put in the same kind of situations when large firefights where you have to do a lot of running around and shooting dudes. Like it felt very Halo, even though there was some slight differences.
All right, as someone who doesn't give a fuck about Halo, I'm saying.
Moving on. Yeah, Hotline Miami 2.
That thing's got a level editor now. Crazy music.
I think that's great. I don't really play Hotline Miami, but I think the fact that there's a level editor is really neat.
Yeah,
the soundtrack is as good as the last one.
Yeah, I mean, like, people should definitely get Hotline Miami, especially with the Steam sale, if you don't know already. It's crazy fun.
It's kind of funny. I heard the Steam sale was going on the other day, and I logged in, and I looked at it, and I was like, oh, there's Hotline Miami. If I could, I would buy that game again. Like, because it's so much fun, I would throw
it's pretty good.
It was, you could always just buy it and gift it to someone.
Oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It also got really tiring though. Like, there's a lot of like I'm interested by the fact that there's way more violence in this one. I don't know how I'll feel with it when it comes to playing it because I got tired of it. Like straight up, it got too much.
The first one for me was definitely, it was short enough. Like it didn't stretch out for me. It might have for others, but there were a couple times that like I kept banging my head against the wall, but I'm more or less powered through not enough of it to be okay.
Hopefully. Well, it says, I hope they learned lessons and are making improvements. Moving on. Hellraisers. What is this again?
No, actually, it's not Hellraisers. It's Helldivers.
I don't understand why Vinny was so interested in that game, because it looks... Like, I actually watched like the developers playing it. It looks boring as hell.
It's completely boring as hell. I don't know. It might look chaotic, but basically it's from Arrowhead Studios, a.k.a. the Magicka guys. And the initial reason why I was excited about it was, hey, it's the Magicka concept of four-person co-op where you can team kill each other still, mixed with the sci-fi spin on it. And they still add like the spell casting in terms of calling down more ammo, calling down turrets, calling down respawning friends with the whole button combinations on a keypad. And the number one reason why I was super excited about it up until realizing Magicka 2 was a thing is that it's coming on a console, which means hopefully the multiplayer won't be total shit when it comes on release.
Yeah.
Which was the case with Magicka 1.
Oh, man. I have bad memories of some. But I also have such good memories of Magicka 1. Man,
I like Magicka. Yeah. Literally the only thing I don't like about Magicka is the pain in the ass of actually getting into a game.
Actually getting going.
Yeah, and that's
if they just go Steamworks, it's fine now, I would assume.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else about Hellraisers?
Helldivers, yeah. I mean, like, it looks like a neat concept, how they're taking multiplayer on a grand scale. The approach for that, I think, is kind of neat and worth at least observing.
Cool. Moving on to The Last of Us Remastered Edition, which is pretty much only on my list. I'm excited for it because if they hit 60 FPS. If they hit 60 FPS, I'm there. If they don't, I'm not. That's pretty much it. Anyone else have anything to say about that?
Nope.
I feel like listeners who stuck with us long enough, we've said enough about Last of Us.
Yeah, exactly.
The multiplayer is actually pretty good. That's all I'm going to say about The Last of Us in general.
It's not my game of the year because I never played it, so...
Yeah.
Well, you'll be able to play it on your Glacier PS4.
You were right. I will. Yep.
I didn't play enough of it, of the first game, that like I could justify getting the PS4 version because it wouldn't take that much to start over. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It feels real weird that they're charging $60 for it.
They charge $60 for Tomb Raider.
Yeah, that felt really bad then too.
The fact that it includes old DLC, and I actually know that DLC is, well, one piece of the DLC is actually legitimately good. I don't feel too bad about it. It better include the making charging, of as well. Like
charging
stuff.
$60 for it, I guess, isn't the biggest issue. It's the charging $60 for a game that's not even a year old and not offering an upgrade plan for somebody who owns the PS3 version.
Agreed. Yeah, that should exist.
I would pay
$20 or $30 for it.
I think if Sony were not doing as well as they are doing right now, they might be resorting to the whole $10 upgrade still. But I feel like that was just a initial release thing.
I don't know. I feel like yes, it's an initial release thing, but it's something I feel like if they're going to be doing these remastered versions of their PS3 games that aren't that old, they need to carry it over for that stuff too, because it's kind of a slap in the face to all of us who actually bought that game when it came out.
Is this Naughty Dog still?
Yeah, yes. They're doing it internally.
It's the Last of Us team working on this engine, the new PS4 engine, porting that shit over in prep for the next game. That's what it is.
Yeah, it just seems like they want the studios to get acquainted with their tech.
Yeah.
But yeah, that still makes during your point super valid.
All right, so moving on to The Legend of Zelda Wii U Edition and my surprise game!
I will be buying a Wii U.
Like, that's your surprise game?
Yes!
God. I thought it looked great.
It was fucking awesome!
Oh my god!
Holy shit!
Oh, that game looks so beautiful.
I need to find the tweet that Brian Altano has.
As somebody who didn't really like the Wind Waker art style... Or felt like the Skyward Sword art style was like almost there, but unfortunately looked shitty because of the system. Like, I am super excited for this one. It looks so good.
Brian Altano of IGN and also of the Comedy Button tweeted like immediately after that, like during the live thing, if that new Zelda trailer didn't excite you, you have outgrown video games.
Yeah, that was fucking cool.
Oh, that looks so good.
It looks so good,
but at the same time, I was so fucking sad that that's all they showed.
Well, they showed some more during like some random Nintendo event.
Did they?
The treehouse thing? Did they?
I need to find that footage.
I don't think so.
I just want to say so far, I'm ready to buy a PS4 Glacier White. I am ready to buy a Wii U this year. Microsoft has not done a goddamn thing to make me want to buy.
Okay, hold on. I'm pulling everyone's minds right now.
Okay. Here's the thing, Squiddle, real quick. The biggest proof of that is the fact that Sunset Overdrive isn't even on our fucking list.
Yeah, it's not even on
And that's their big game.
Yeah.
Squiddle, let me tell you this right now.
Okay.
What if I told you you could get a Wii U for $205 shipped?
Depending on where it's from, I'd buy it right now.
Directly from Nintendo.
Oh, the refurbished ones?
They're not refurbished.
Oh,
the internet did some collective digging. They're the Nintendo Land bundles.
Oh.
They are the bundles that retailers returned to Nintendo when they got new bundles.
Damn.
But legally, since they're returned from retail, legally they must be sold as refurbished.
Yeah, they can't ship
them. But they're new systems.
Jeez. Huh.
Wow.
Let's take a look.
Are these – so they're not black ones. They're white ones?
They are. They're the black 32 gig deluxe bundles.
Yeah, so, do you purchase them from Nintendo's site, or how do you acquire refurbished
You purchase
models?
Them from shop.nintendo.com.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, you know what? My went out on mine, so I might have to look into buying another Wii U.
Yeah, I have to look into that.
Put the link in the show notes.
I'll have to tell my friend that, yeah.
I did not think it could happen during. I did not. I honestly didn't think there was anything in the fucking world that could make me buy a fucking Wii U.
Like,
but Zelda Skyrim.
Like I was really surprised to hear that both of you are on board the Wii U train.
One of the games things. Further down our list, Xenoblade's on there, and I realized that I know someone that has a physical copy of Xenoblade.
Oh, really? Like,
yeah, he bought it when it came out. So I could just pop that into the Wii U and play that.
I saw one at the local Best Buy for like $40 and didn't buy it. And I fucking kicked myself in the ass for it now because that game is like $200 on eBay or some shit.
Yeah. Zombie U is maybe good.
I don't know why I said that out loud.
Mario Kart's kind of like that. That would be a good one to get. The trouble is like a lot of these half games.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to drop in price as they do with other stuff. Like Nintendo is notorious for just always keeping their stuff as high as they can in terms of pricing.
Well, I mean, yes, no, they do that based on demand. Like Nintendo games tend to have pretty high demand, but like, I don't think Pikmin 3 is going to stay $60 forever because it didn't sell all that well.
Yeah,
but Mario Kart 8 will be $60 at the end of this fucking console.
Yeah, from that minute clip, I am super excited for Zelda. I will very possibly get a Wii U next year, but I just don't see myself getting one this year.
That's the problem. Like, I will buy a Wii U for this game because the idea of Nintendo finally getting into an open world with puzzles that can be solved from any direction with let's say a new essentially perspective on Hyrule as a whole is very exciting to me. But the problem is we have no fucking idea when this game's going to come out. Like,
so my only adverse feeling to buying a Wii U right now, I just remembered, is in August I'm going to see my aunt who works at Nintendo, and I may or may not be getting a job with either Microsoft or Nintendo in the near future. So I may just want to hold off to see how all that comes out. So
that'd be pretty interesting.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it's... So wait, Durin, as a person who actually cares about Zelda before this, like myself.
Like I don't? Like we don't? Come on.
Like, okay. Just point of fact. I bought a Wii U solely to get a Zelda game.
I buy a Wii U when I know there's a Zelda game coming out, not for the assumption that there's going to be one coming out anyway.
Of course there's one coming out.
So what excited you guys about this? Was it just like, it looks like an interesting evolution, or was there something particular about this that got you going?
Two things got me really excited. One of which, I'm not sure if it was just the show of the E3 thing, but the fire effects, like the way that would behave in the open world.
That explosion looks so good.
Like,
I was shocked how good that game looked. Well, okay. Has Nintendo ever bullshotted or equivalent, like just made things look better in previews than they?
Not that I can remember.
The closest they've really done is released a high fidelity concept of a game that looks nothing like the game they eventually released.
Right. And that's what I'm worried about that for here, because that looked, honestly, to me, that looked beyond what a week you could.
What I'm referencing was the quote unquote realistic Zelda video they showed, and then they released Wind Waker.
Not to take it back, did you say bullshotted? Is that the actual terminology?
Mm-hmm. Bullshot is a term, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Right. Yep. I've never heard of that.
So, bullshot is basically just they create a screenshot that looks way better than the game could ever look.
Yeah.
And bulls in it, right? Because it has to be bulls to be bullshot.
Another example would be to Watch Dog, a preview.
Oh, okay. I get that. Okay, very good.
Damn.
To expand it further, just to Ubisoft, because remember Far Cry 3?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. That's good. I like that. The second thing that excited me was Link was not in the standard tunic.
To be fair, he wasn't in the standard tunic at the beginning of most of the modern games.
He was
arrow wasn't exactly an arrow. It's like a hybrid, like Transformer arrow type thing.
It seemed like a pretty cool light arrow. I don't know. But yes.
That they never actually said that was Link.
I'm pretty sure the dude, like 2 days later, was like, don't be silly, you guys, it's Link.
No.
Well, they said it wasn't
Link. He came out later and he said, we never said it wasn't Link either.
Yeah.
It's the princess in drag.
Basically, my hope is something akin to Wind Waker, not in terms of, like, obviously a boat sailing game, but just like the idea of you're not Link as much as you will go on the same Sojourn journey as a hero once named Link.
They actually had come out and after this announcement, and that was one thing they had mentioned, is like, there is no singular Link.
Yeah. There's the thing that happens.
Each Link is actually a kind of a different character. They just have never explicitly said so.
I refuse. Yeah, it's just like you're following the legend of the Hero of Courage.
Is the Princess Zelda different every time as well? Or is that just like...
Yes.
Is she constant? Okay.
She has to be, given the fact that Wind Waker took place in the same world as Ocarina of Time, Zelda has to be a different character each time. It's more of like a... she is the chosen princess.
Are you saying that this is like entwined? Are you saying this is essentially entwined? Where that's
yes,
I'd equate it more to like
rebirths.
Once you have picked up enough of the orbs,
and they become a dragon.
We need to link in the show notes. Oh god,
yeah.
We need to post in the show notes. One, like, there are many community made Doc Brown esque.
As the person who writes up the show notes, I respectfully disagree about having to include these in the show notes.
All right.
Do not force people to go down that fucking rabbit hole.
Oh man.
So the person who just went down the rabbit hole of Star Citizen.
Good people have that's the rabbit hole I'm going to send people down.
The one talking point I want to bring up though is, and probably the point on which we'll actually decide whether I buy this game or not. Do you guys think that Link will finally talk?
I hope not.
I hope other people talk though.
Now I will say there might be VO in the game, but I think Link will always be a silent protagonist.
Do you think other people talk? Like, that's an equivalent.
I think that's a possibility this time around.
I would hope that the Epony or the horse talks before
Epona.
Yeah.
Link won't talk because that was again another thing they mentioned as well during one of the interviews is like Link is not so much a character in the world as he is like a conduit for the player.
Yeah.
So he's an idea. He's an idea in the world that you embody. So
he will never actually speak.
An equivalent for that is like, do you guys think the world will finally be fully voiced?
Because I hope so.
Fucking amazing.
I don't know. At the same time, like I hoped that with Final Fantasy, and then we got Final Fantasy X. So maybe just leave a text.
Having just played Final Fantasy X, that game is the voice acting in that game is enough for a large part of it. Like a lot of the favorite parts of that game.
Also, that was near the beginning still of fully voiced games of that length.
True. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean. Like I remember specific parts, like the Ronso Village and all that. Like the parts of that are voice acted incredibly well that work even today Just the rest of it doesn't. But this is, again, Nintendo, and they are committed to quality, at least as I'm told they are. I'm not sure
is because, like, Pikmin also had no voice work in it, so...
And quality does not mean more. It just means, in my opinion, to add more to make it, so...
Right.
But all I'm saying is, if they give me that realistic world with that realistic physics and the realistic movement of the environment, like, for example, the birds leaving the trees when that monster showed up, like, that kind of shit, and then they have people going, like, just for people talking, I'm not there. I'm done. I'm not going to fucking live with that.
Well, then, Cynic, we'll have to wait for more footage from this game other than the 1 minute we've seen so far. So
okay. Now, moving on to the best trailer. We've been longer talking about the
game than we've seen footage of it.
Moving on to the best trailer of E3, Magicka 2.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so good. They make the best dumb trailers.
Possible contender for better trailer than game?
I like probably.
Magicka. I mean, the game as a whole, like, when it worked, it was great. It was hard to get working.
Yeah, okay, I'll agree with that. And also, like, that, all the more why I'm worried about console version of it, because, like, I don't know, that game does not seem to lend itself well to a limited number of buttons.
It'll come to PC, I hope.
No, I know. And that's where I would play it. But I'm just saying, like, for all the people who would buy the console version, I don't understand how that would work without just...
They are not of my concern.
It's got USB. You could probably plug a keyboard into that. It'll be fine.
I don't think it'll work.
Good
with the PS3.
Maybe.
Yeah, like, really good trailer. We'll see what the game actually is.
It looks like more Magicka. It looks like more Magicka, which is kind of...
They have a PC release.
I like their sense of humor.
All right, moving on. Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Why?
Really?
I wasn't expecting that from you.
I was really excited about that until Jeff played it, and then he started talking about it, and... I'm with him. Like, I really hope that this is just a really early build, because, like, I don't even care about them, like, you know, including skins for all the other Mario games. I don't even like... I'm even okay with the idea of, like, levels only being 5 screens long, but if they can't get the fucking physics right, then I'm out. Like, I'm not gonna play on a new Super Mario Brothers skin with old Super Mario Brothers physics. That doesn't... my brain cannot comprehend that.
Wait, isn't that what you... don't you want the old physics?
I want the old physics for the old skin. I want the new physics for the new skin.
Wait, is it only the old physics of the game, or is it
only Mario 1 physics for all of it right now?
Oh.
If you can't get Super Mario World physics into that game, there's no point.
That's weird.
But, like, that's the thing, though, Shinboy. Like, for the way my brain works with games and the visuals of them and everything, I couldn't even, like, if you put in Super Mario World physics and I had to play with those physics on, let's say, the new Super Mario Brothers skin, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm also just saying that they should include Super Mario World physics and art.
Yeah, I would say and our art, absolutely. And I think they did say that, like, those are the only two that are in the build right now. So I imagine they probably will include some of the other arts. Maybe they'll be unlockable. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But it's got to be an early build. Like Jeff said, like, you couldn't go down pipes. That's got to be in the game. Like, how could that not be? So I want to see, you know, a further along version of it. Also, I imagine this will be a downloadable thing, right? Like,
yeah, definitely looks downloadable. At
$15 or something?
Probably.
Yeah.
But also, that fly has to go. That's so fucking stupid. I don't even care what it's from. It's dumb.
What are you talking about? What fly?
During a lot of the gameplay they showed, like, there was this, like, fly, like, flying around the level editor, and you could, like, smack it with a fly swatter.
That was literally the extent
of the interaction with it. That's, like, to me, that's the equivalent of, like, tripping in Mario Brothers or Smash Brothers Melee. It's just, it's dumb. Or Brawl.
Brawl.
Sorry.
Melee.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. Like, I feel like this is one of the few times I've agreed with Jeff Gerstmann on a game, in that, like, this game has the potential to be great, but it also has the potential to be the next NES remix, where it's just this amazing idea completely fucking squandered because Nintendo made it.
All right, moving on. going to the biggest disappointment, in my opinion, of E3. Fucking hell.
The Wait, Mass skipping Effect Mass Effect and going straight to Metal Gear? What?
Okay. Whoa. No, the Mass Effect reveal.
I'm kidding.
Zing.
What the fuck?
The disappointment. let's be clear. The disappointment being the fact that they didn't actually show anything at all.
Anything.
Like not all. That the game is going to be a disappointment, but yeah, no. they showed some like Mass Effect armor that's sitting in their offices. That's cool.
What?
Because they're making that game, guys.
They showed space trailer, space double wide.
Do you guys think a lot of people working on that game have just instead been working on the tech put into Dragon Age, whatever the new one's called?
That's a Frostbite game, so that would be DICE's tech.
I think it's more so the fact that that game just is so fucking early in development that they don't have anything, but that they've talked about it enough at this point they had to show something. Kind of like Star Wars Battlefront.
Okay, yeah. I'm legitimately confused. Was that space double wide, the Mass Effect thing? Because I'm pretty sure there was a Krogan there. Know. Or was that the quote unquote new IP that they were talking about? Because that thing was a mess.
I legitimately don't know.
Remember the space double wide?
No.
It wasn't a double wide. It was a trailer, though.
I'm not sure.
Mass Effect is coming in 2018. Get hyped.
I just hope that their Battlefield
looks just as non-existent.
I hope that this lack of anything at this time means they're actually putting in the effort to make it good. I just hope that's the case. I don't know if I trust that feeling, but we'll see. Moving on to a trailer which I was kind of ambivalent towards. Oddly enough, Metal Gear Solid 5 kind of unsold me on itself.
Did you watch the 30-minute gameplay they released today, though?
No, I heard it was good. I hope
the demo that they were showing people?
I think it was actually the behind-closed-doors demo they showed at E3.
Right.
But yeah, like a straight, full, 30-minute gameplay. So mm-hmm. I want to go back and see that because I think that might spark interest in the game because I really want to be interested in that new Metal Gear, but they keep Metal trying really Gear? Hard to make me not interested in it.
Yeah, I was like, what do you need to do? Show me more gameplay. God, don't need a fucking movie at this point. Like, the movie's fine
is Metal Gear.
No, yeah, like, but that I'll was...
The gameplay. You play that game for the gameplay.
I play the game for gameplay, but I also like the story, but I don't care about Big Boss's story. Like I'm on Jeff's side. Like, fuck, I don't care about Big Boss. Just give me Snake. The thing about that trailer was...
This game is not for you.
I know. But the thing about the trailer was, I'm pretty sure that was Raiden, the little kid that he fights on the train. And I'm pretty sure the dude who, well, my guess is the guy who's in a mask fighting a bunch of dudes around him might be Solid Snake. And if that's the case, I'm fucking sold. If it's not the case, I do not care about this game.
If a Metal Gear movie can explain to me what all the name and nomenclature for Snake is, then all about it. Otherwise, that's a separate podcast
on its own.
That's actually why I'm going back and playing all these old Metal Gears, because I was hearing Brad talk about it during this whole thing.
Yeah.
And talking about Big Boss and that oil rigged, whatever the fuck it was called, and
Heavens, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And all these terms thrown out and stuff. And I'm like, okay, clearly this all makes sense to somebody who plays these games. It's barely English to me. I want to play these games and see if I can actually make some sense of this.
I mean, when I hear it, I think that Solid Snake becomes a god. He lives in outer heaven, and his name is Big Boss when he gets there. That's what my takeaway from all this is.
So, okay, Snake is a clone, right?
Snake is a clone of Big Boss. Okay. Yep.
He has a brother, Liquid Snake, and another brother, Solid Snake.
So, okay, my question. Snake is right. So I have this weird, I'm in this weird position where... I have played Metal Gear 3, mm-hmm. obviously, because I'm playing through 2 right now. Yeah. But I have played a number of the boss fights, including the very last one.
Of 3?
Of 3. What? My brother was very into Metal Gear, and he was playing it, and he couldn't actually beat the bosses because he was pretty young.
Right.
So he would just call me over and have me beat the bosses for him.
You had the awesome ending to 3 ruined for yourself, essentially.
My question is that lady you fight at the end of the game, right? Like, they called her Big Boss, didn't they?
Wasn't she the boss? No, she might have been. No, wasn't she the boss? She's the boss, isn't she?
Oh, God damn it. Fuck no.
Okay, moving on.
I was going to say, before we move on, the only Metal Gear game I ever played that I enjoyed was the PSP Metal Gear game, which was the card-based turn game, and I absolutely loved it. That's it.
Yeah, I heard
Metal Gear Acid.
Metal Gear Acid.
Yeah, yeah. Acid, that's it.
I thought you were going with Portable Ops, because I could have gotten behind you on that one. But
yeah, she was the acid. Boss.
Like I said, it's the only one I ever played.
Moving on. So if you want to talk to me about Metal Gear, you can do so off the show, Darren. Metro Redux. I don't know who put this on their list. Tell me about it.
That was me. I should have said Metro 2033 Redux. Last Light, it's not much of a graphical improvement. But yeah, it's 2033 getting a cleanup. It's really interesting. I'm trying, like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm trying to do a replay of the old school Metro 2033, shitty graphics and all. That's a really good game.
Well, okay, relatively shitty. Like, that game still looks fucking good.
Yeah, it's all right.
Is Metro Redux only a console thing, or is that a PC thing as well?
PC as well.
Okay, because are they going to make it not run terrible?
One can only hope.
Oh, it's Steambox confirmed, so you can like run it on Steam OS and get graphical improvements.
Yeah, Metro 2033 Redux is like
held off there.
$100. It's something like that. Yeah, it's a price that is less wanting me to be wanting to be worth it as a second buyer for Last Light, but
so Steam sale essentially.
It's apparently both Metro games.
Well, they both have Redux versions. You can buy it's
on sale right now. The $60 box is both games that you can buy. Like, go out to a store and buy both games.
The PC version is actually only $50. You can buy it. It's on sale actually on Steam right now. You can buy it for $38, or you can just buy a 2033 Redux for $13.
Cool.
Which is nuts.
Anything else? I still play it
in Russian.
I don't. This is like GTA 5. I see no reason to go on beyond. Hey, that's cool. You might buy it. Anything else?
It's cool. They're going back to it.
Yeah. Anybody who hasn't played Metro before, put it on your radar. Check it out. It's cool.
Play it in Russian with English subtitles.
Yes.
Yeah. Moving on to Mirror's Edge 2. I didn't see this footage. I heard there was footage.
There was sort of not. Wait, footage?
There was footage. Like, kind of, it didn't look like it was like a stage demo or anything. Mm-hmm. It was a weird thing that I don't know about that game because I don't know.
Yeah, sounds like they were denied resources because of the whole Battlefield thing, so it's still just a very small team. And this past year, it's been a year since they first announced it, they've just been working on concepts, sort of thing. Like, you know, how do they want to design the ideal faith? They want motion to work properly, like the old game, because that was how it was good. Weapons? How do they want to do that? And so, this was just a lot of like Faith running around in like a blank world sort of thing, and then showing developers talk.
So I guess that's kind of the unfortunate that like, you know, they finally went ahead and greenlit like giving that game another shot, and then like, you know, this is a game that is a completely different fucking audience than Battlefield, and they've all gotten boned because of the Battlefield 4 fiasco. Like,
yeah,
because
my
of that whole shit,
that
like, they can't see what this game is.
I hope the people, like, the suits at EA are just, like, okay with, since it's not going to be a huge thing, like, they'll hopefully get the cult following back and a few other people. So hopefully they don't have to keep bringing it, like, hopefully it doesn't come out next year. It's a game like I want them to put the time in and craft it. I'm okay with it being a small team. They can send the resources to other games. I'm okay with that. If they rush it's probably going to be bad.
I don't know. I feel like at the same time,
I saw guns and I was like,
at
the same time though, it's the kind of project that I feel like if Hardline, you know, has even some of the issues that Battlefield 4 had. And then with Battlefront kind of on the horizon as well, or you know, in the distant future, but it's something being made that we could very easily see if things don't go well with those games. Mirror's Edge is the first thing on the chopping block, and that's the kind of scary part.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, probably. I still don't know how this will sell. Like, seems like an interesting project.
That said, when Shin Boy did his charity live stream last year, I played through the original Mirror's Edge all the way through, and I'm not necessarily that keen on playing another Mirror's Edge game because I can kind of play the crap.
I don't know. That game, the highs are so high and the lows are so low.
Right. Yeah. I played No Guns, so...
I remember when I bought my PS3, Mirror's Edge was kind of like the game that really sold me on it when I played it. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was a great game. I really want Mirror's Edge 2 to be more than what Mirror's Edge 1 was, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard for it to be that though, because like it's not actually even Mirror's Edge 2. Like it's a retelling of that story.
Like, I want to see them make it more open, because that game is at its best when you're moving really quickly.
Yeah,
absolutely. Give me more options of ways to get around this level.
I'm going to climb these pipes sequences are all terrible.
Like GTA, but you stay outside and on rooftops.
Not really GTA. Mirror's Edge, but you stay outside and on rooftops.
There you go. Yeah.
I really enjoy it. It's a game that every time I get a new upgrade with my computer, I install it again and play it.
So it's a crisis for your PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially it's one of the more interesting games to watch for speedrunning, just because anybody who has, I want to say that it's an hour
please,
long.
The proper term is parkour.
Well played.
I'm going to say because they had a two-person race with three people commentating for Austin Dane's Done Quick, the winner one. And you wouldn't believe it, but it is a game that it is a speed run where you have to be on your game because you're having to do constant moves all the time to combo your way to keep going faster. That is reminiscent of the old school NES speed Metroid and whatnot of just you take damage to go faster.
Yeah, I could see that being a really interesting game to see to be speed run.
As a quick side note, a quick tangent. Does a speed run necessarily have to have a game breaking mechanic to make it a speed run?
No, absolutely not.
There are different categories of speed runs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to assist. So, Mortal Kombat X.
Yeah.
Thank God. I can't tell if that's a serious or a sarcastic.
I'm so fucking on board for a new Mortal Kombat.
Are you serious? I saw the trailer got me on board. The gameplay got me off board. I was.
What about the viewers?
Okay, so the mic.
Yeah,
he was so off board that he blew out his mic, and it just
I would have rather be a original Killer Instinct reboot with original characters fully.
Wait, what?
What?
Fully, all original characters.
Not make that game, right? Huh? I said you realize NetherRealm did not make that game, and in fact, that license is owned by Microsoft.
Sure.
It is being handed to Dave Lang.
I'm just saying, I would rather not see Mortal Kombat because nobody gives a fuck about Mortal Kombat anymore. And wow. Just,
a lot of people give.
A lot of people are ignorant and young children. That's about it.
Jeez.
Okay. Squiddle, I hate to break this to you. I hate to bring your world down around you, but more people care about Mortal Kombat than care about Killer Instinct because Killer Instinct kind of shit.
That's fine. They're horrible people and wrong, so that's okay. I forgive them for that.
I'm just saying, like Mortal Kombat was a playable game.
So was Killer Instinct.
I like how you're calling the fans of the older franchise little kids.
I'm being a troll. Let me be a troll for once. God,
no, because you're not good at it.
But I'm still gonna try. Fuck.
People who enjoy trolling.
What was the idea from the trailer? Sorry, let's skip back on topic.
I was asking you what was it about the gameplay you didn't like?
So I like the idea of the trailer and how it was very focused, very slow paced, very, hey, let's think back to early Mortal Kombat's and this The idea of a serious Mortal Kombat game, as stupid as that sounds, like a serious Mortal Kombat game, that actually got me interested in the first place. As a person who actually, for as a short period of time as a little kid, liked the Mortal Kombat fiction. Don't look at me that way. Stop it.
I can understand people being into the Mortal Kombat fiction. That's fine.
As children, yeah.
That first movie was great.
Yeah. No. And then, well, it wasn't when I was like 6 years old or whatever. But
as a child, that movie was great. I liked Monkey Trouble. Come
was
on.
That the one where Scorpion cartwheels out of the tree in the background and it's really funny looking?
Yes.
When Scorpion and Johnny Cage fight in the woods there. There's like crazy depth of field, and you just see him cartwheeling in the background, and it's really funny.
Like he's hidden behind the tree, and then he cartwheels out. Like hiding him the entire time.
As a kid, it was awesome. Like, I mean, you have to know that my standards at the time revolved around like Power Rangers. So, but yeah,
I was gonna say I'm right with you. As a kid, I liked Monkey Trouble, so I understand. I understand where you're coming from.
So that harkened back, like that slow paced, really awesome, like cinematic shot of fucking Sub-Zero losing for once to Scorpion, because everyone knows Sub-Zero is better.
That's a blatant lie.
Was awesome. And then I saw the game and they literally did a one-to-one of like that same forest with the same two characters fighting in their Sony press conference, and I was like, oh god, I don't care about this at all. I just realized it's essentially the same pace and focus of the previous Mortal Kombat game. Just a little bit.
It's actually slightly faster than Mortal Kombat 9 was.
I would argue it's the same speed, because when I saw the trailer, it looked more Neo Geo, or what is it when you not Neo Geo, I can't think of the game, but like it looked more of an arcadey type style gameplay, aside from the breaking of ribs, snapping of necks, you know, the whole like in-depth x-ray type thing. It looked more of a traditional fighting game, which I applaud Mortal Kombat for going to, not just a cinematic type style gameplay that they kind of, I feel, recently been on. So, I don't know.
I don't know, because
Mortal Kombat... People really like
well, I mean, directly from Ed Boon's mouth, it's faster than Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah, but like as a person who liked the fucking, for some reason, the previous Mortal Kombat story, or at least the fact that they tried for it and where they got with it, I was hoping for them to go like more along that lines. I guess they are, and they're probably not going to throw away those lessons, but it's just not the direction I like. So why do you like Mortal Kombat before we move on? Or why do you like Mortal Kombat X? Like what interested you?
Mortal Kombat 9 was really fucking good, and I didn't get to play nearly as much of it as I would have liked. So I'm interested in this one partly because like they did some really cool stuff with the story in the other one. And as somebody who liked, like you said, like the kind of the lore of Mortal Kombat, I'm interested to see their second take on where they take that story post 3, given that like that's kind of where the first game ended.
Yeah.
But also like just gameplay wise, like to me, as somebody who's not real big into fighting games, like the fighting, quote unquote fighting game, and I do put quotes in here, that I've played the most of is Smash Brothers.
Thank you for putting quotes there. Thank you.
Mortal Kombat is probably the most legit fighting game that I've ever enjoyed and been halfway decent at. I don't know. Injustice was really fucking cool. I like the stuff they did with that, and I can't wait to see how they iterate on that.
Can I go off on a story tangent about Mortal Kombat?
Just for the history of it. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. The original Mortal Kombat that I played was on the Game Boy. I'm talking the Game Boy, not like advanced or color.
There was a Mortal Kombat on the Game Boy?
Yes. And I played it on the clear Game Boy when it came out, and I was actually at a funeral for my stepfather's mother's sister, and I remember sitting there in the house, and they were doing the thing where a person passed away, and it's called like a free-for-all. Like they would go and grab what they wanted to, and then they would say, that's what we would like to keep as a memento for them. We were sitting on the couch and yelling, I finally got a fatality, in the middle of the room. And I didn't know what it meant, like the context of what a fatality was. And everybody heard me and just kind of looked at me like I did something wrong. And I had no idea. And that I was told to go outside. But that is my history with Mortal Kombat.
Which I'm sure you were fine with, because that meant you got to play more Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. They didn't stop me from playing. They just said, you need to go outside. I was like, okay, fine. I'll go outside. It's no problem.
That just that reminds me of my Counter-Strike 9/11 story.
Ooh.
On the day of 9/11, like the day it actually happened, we got let out of school early and everything. And of course, naturally, at the time, I was very heavy into Counter-Strike. So I got home and I loaded up Counter-Strike and was playing it on my computer. And about three matches in, realized I was playing as a terrorist setting bombs on 9/11 and just alt F4'd and felt really bad. And I sat there for a while and just thought about what I had done.
Just contemplated life.
I think I just got off the computer and went like read a book or something. Like I just I felt so bad.
I was kind of hoping it would boot it back up and only do hostage rescue missions. It's selectively like office, villa. The only two I know.
God, remember when Counter-Strike had VIP? Those were the days. Anyway,
remember when Counter-Strike had his birthday yesterday?
No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky. Yeah. So remember when I was talking about, I was asking about Elite Dangerous and that other game about whether they had seamless moving from space to planet, and you guys said no, and I'm like, fuck those games. That's because I'm going to buy this game, because this game does that.
I might buy
Can you buy ships in advance?
I don't really care. I don't
really $11,000 to buy ships.
There was a game that was being developed that probably nobody heard of called, I believe it was called Infinite Space.
I think that's what it was.
That was their big thing. Like they you could actually seamlessly go from in atmosphere to space and back without any loading screens or anything. And like, it was being made by a really small team. And then like, at some point it seems like they just kind of gave up on it and they're just trying to sell their engine now.
Well, they've been working on it for like a decade.
Oh God, yeah, like forever. Apparently, and all they had was a video.
Apparently, there's a sci-fi RPG for the Nintendo DS, co-developed by Platinum Games, called Infinite Space.
Okay, fun maybe fact. It's Infinite Space. I don't know, but it's I like the idea of space sims. But like that idea specifically, that concept of moving from in atmosphere to space and back seamlessly is like the thing that's always been missing for me. And when I saw No Man's Sky and saw that they had managed to accomplish that, I literally didn't care about anything else about the game. Like there could be no progression in that game, no like actual things to do other than just fly around and see these planets. And like if I can actually do that and fly just, you know, from space to a planet, land on it and walk around, I will pay them money for that game. That's all I care about.
Man, I'm like the only person in the world who just – no, not because I saw the Giant Bomb chat. I really need to see them tell me more about what the fuck this game is before I'm anywhere near as excited as you are.
It's the hype train. What does it matter? Well, just get on it.
My issue is everyone's been asking the same question, and as far as I know, no one's asked it the different way, and I'm waiting for GameSpot has a bunch of footage that they're sitting on until like the end of the month or something. But everyone said, like, what can you do in this game? Or like, you know, when you're on a planet, what do you do? And I really want someone to ask, what are the things you can do?
Right.
Because as near as I can tell, you explore. And, like, you go to vistas and whatnot, like in
to some World extent, II. Yes, it was described at some point as like Minecraft meets Star Citizen. So I believe I do know at least somebody was talking. I forgot who was, what podcast I was listening to, but somebody mentioned like when you start the game, you do not have a spaceship.
Depending on the planet, it will take anywhere from like an hour.
I don't know
to
if that's
five
true.
Hours.
Yes,
reading something on a big write-up went up today on Polygon where the Hello Games guys were linking to it and all that. You do get a ship at the start. You do not get a ship that is capable of interstellar travel.
Right. Okay.
You can leave your planet and go within your – you can get – no, you have interplanetary travel off the get-go, but you can't jump from star system to star system.
But basically, what that tells us, like, there is some progression system. Most likely, given that there was the comparison made to Minecraft, there's likely some sort of crafting system in there as well.
Yeah, there's a quote in there where it's like, oh, gathering. Like, oh, you need to get your hyperdrive. Oh, then you need to upgrade your hyperdrive and stuff like that.
So, like, I heard somebody describe this as, you know, given the little bit of information that we know about it, that this could be like a 3D Starbound, which has me like immediately sold.
So this gave me thought to how much do I really, like, I love the idea of this game and I would like to play it, but how much time am I going to invest into this game? I mean, I'm not a kid anymore where I can just spend hours playing a game where I can discover new things and just walk around. So I'm curious to see what they do for people. And maybe it's not for me. Maybe the game is not for a person that can just dedicate an hour, maybe 2 hours, you know, every 2 or 3 days to a game. Maybe that's not for me, but I'm curious to see what they would do for that.
All right. Well, I think that speaks to they don't really want to have a narrative story. And like the thing is, like,
right,
you might want to go to the center of the earth or center of the universe or galaxy or whatever, but it's whatever you want to do, Squiddle. So if you only have a couple hours, just stick to your known solar system and check all that stuff out. And then, like, you know, slowly move around.
That's what I was going to say. Like, the fact that they start you with at least an interplanetary ship, like, what there is to do really is just kind of up to you. Like, if you don't have necessarily the time or even the drive to, like, you know, treat this as a Minecraft game where you're logging in for, you know, like some of these kids do, where you're logging in for, you know, 4 hours, 6 hours a day and building up these fortresses and all this other stuff, like, there's still plenty for you to do. You know, there are all those planets for you to explore, you know, and if you eventually get to the point where you've explored all of your current galaxies, planets, and, you know, you don't necessarily have the time or want to spend the time to go and, you know, whatever the grind is to get your hyperdrive, then you just start a new file, end up with a new galaxy and explore that one.
Yeah, I'm really curious also how modders are going to, like, take to this. If it is going to be, like, this cryptic thing of, like...
They're probably not going to.
Yeah, like, to try and understand the code.
They're not going to support it. Because it doesn't make sense to.
Well,
the fact that the entire game is procedural, I mean, I guess Minecraft is too.
Also, the way everything links together over the internet, if you will,
there's that.
Is not going to work with that. The way the seeding works is not going to work with mods, unless you're talking strictly about, like, UI mods.
Yeah.
Pretty much what I'm wondering is someone going to make just like a mod that lets you play with friends?
I'm telling you right now, no.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the internet is very resourceful.
At least not one that works to do. Well. Yeah.
I don't want this game to be an MMO type thing where, hey, buddy, you want to join up with me? As much as I don't play, I like the idea of it's just my seed, my game,
right?
And I play that. I do like that.
I like the fact that there is multiplayer in the respect and like the way that they're handling, you know, playing quote unquote with friends, I think is really cool, where like a friend finds this really cool planet and this cool stuff on this planet. And so they send you the coordinates for it and you can go there and see exactly what your friend saw.
Yeah. I think so that means
there's no need to actually play together.
Why isn't there? Cause like part of the awesomeness of Minecraft and Terraria, the fact that you can play with other people or at least like experience some aspects of the world together. With people.
But I liked Minecraft. I don't want other people. I didn't like playing Minecraft when they had ghosts or whatever they were that would kill you and attack you. I like the idea of building.
I'm with you when it comes to Minecraft.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be versus. It can be co-op equivalent. Exploring the galaxy together.
I feel like there are games that do that. This game doesn't necessarily have to be
one. The way they were talking, they were just like, you're not going to see other players running around. They haven't said anything about, like, if you can just sort of form a party of, like, you and one other dude or something.
Are you sure that says no multiplayer at all, didn't they?
They say no traditional multiplayer. They've been very vague in choosing words carefully. But the main reason I'm super excited is because the main dude who has been talking for them, guy Sean, every time you get him talking about this game, he cannot for his life wipe that smile from his face, and that he's so excited that it gets me excited.
Well, like there's something he's hiding, like he's, I don't know. I feel like every time he talks about it, like he wants to talk about something so bad.
Like, I
doesn't.
I went back and watched their part of the Sony press conference. And he stands up there, and the way he's talking, the way he looks, you can tell that like he's just so excited that that gets me excited.
Yeah, the thing is, like, from what they've given away, it's they don't want to say too much about the game because they want it to be that like first game experience. They don't want like you to go in like, oh, this is the things I have to do because these are the things they talked about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think what Shinboy's going to add is, and that's what's something that's sadly missing in game development these days is, it's just exciting to see a developer who's excited to make a game, like who's ecstatic to make a game.
Well, not only that, but something that's not known. When you get the game, you have no idea.
Part of it, the fact is that this game is unique. It is the first of its kind in my, at least from what I can tell. It is literally a developer charging headfirst into unknown space in development as well as in the game. So it's a very interesting convergence of a new concept, a pretty, like, it's not a new studio, but it's a studio that hasn't worked on anything of this scale before ever, and also a small team that's somehow getting it done, and they weren't expecting to get as much press as they were getting. Like, they're probably fucking ecstatic that some people were pretty much jumping onto the hype train for it. I can see why they're excited. Definitely. I just need to know what the fuck this game is. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not in here for some fucking hippie kumbaya bullshit of like, hey, let's just find these plants and discover a fucking species. I don't care about that.
That's exactly what I'm fucking in here for.
Cynic, Cynic, do you want to have an effect on every other player who plays the game?
Not particularly.
Genocide of a species on a planet, and no one else will be able to see that species.
You were the only one.
Eradicated them from the game.
I'm hoping
kill them all, find the last one, take a screenshot, and then kill it, and then post that on Reddit.
Would you live stream killing it?
On that fucking thread, I'm hoping that the scary thing, that the interesting thing he's hiding behind that grin is that along with this procedural planetary generation, they also have this procedural threat. So, for example, they've essentially generated all these ships that are like spawned from planets, right? That there's going to be enemy ships out there to fight. That's something that's known. Who the fuck's making those ships? Who the fuck is going to those planets and making these hostile forces? Are there species on the other planets that are intelligent that you're going to discover? Are there going to be other political systems that are going to interact with one another? If that is the case,
then I'm interested.
Yeah, if it's like
Star Trek, if this is the Spore that we should have gotten the first time.
If this is Star Trek Spore, I'm in. If it's not, I don't care.
So essentially, No Man's Sky led to Last of Us and in some weird way.
Well, no. No Man's Sky led to The Division, which led to The Last of Us.
Okay, there you go.
That Division trailer was really good.
Which led to Destiny.
Yeah, before we go to break, do we just want to each give closing thoughts on No Man's Sky?
Those are essentially mine.
Okay.
I think we pretty much covered it.
Yeah, I'll buy it because why not?
Will we be buying the Glacier White PS4?
Yes.
It will be coming to that.
No, I will not buy that on PS4, though. I will buy that on PC.
Of course.
I'll probably buy it on PS4. I'll end up playing with the same controller.
Now, I'm curious if they're going to do the this is what I was thinking about today, whether or not – he says like every player that comes to X Planet will be the same. Like that planet will be the same for everyone. Is that going to be true across platforms?
I would imagine so. I mean, they're just doing it. They just have basically like a big
The platform holders have more say in that than you would think.
I bet Sony will be okay. It's up to Microsoft.
Well, I mean,
they haven't announced
for Microsoft yet.
I guess that all depends on how pushy they are, because if they get enough momentum going with this game, they could very easily push Sony into being like, look, either you let us put it on cross-platform, you know, with the sharing stuff and everything, or we're just not going to release it for your system.
No, that's like, not going
to
happen.
I don't know if they were on Sony stage.
No, because they're on PubFund. They're on PubFund.
Oh, are they? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
They're Sony, but Sony will let them go beyond it, like a time exclusive, whatever, if that happens. But
I don't think that'd really be necessary, like, to try and like sort of force them into it, because you can just easily just go like, hey, this will benefit people playing on every platform, which in theory it would.
Right. Well, and not only that, but like, it's not like it's not traditional multiplayer anyway. So, what does Sony care? Like,
yeah,
it's not.
That's another point.
Yeah, it's not really hurting them any.
It's not like it's going to steal sales from one platform or the other.
Right, right.
If anything, it will encourage sales.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Some, like, it'll be like a thing where all my friends are playing on PC, so I'm going to get that. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I don't know. Any more closing thoughts, or should we go ahead and take our next break, or our last break?
Yeah, last break.
We'll be right back with the last section of the E3 coverage list of alphabetical orderness.
This is a heavy section. Hosted
by Shinboy.
After this.
Yep. Jerm, we're on Skype. You have a fucking microphone.
I didn't want to interrupt your guys' conversation. I was already mid-sentence.
We're all not talking.
You were when I started. God damn it.
Alright, let's start the shit up again. I have dinner to eat, and it's like midnight almost.
Yeah, I can't believe... Yep, let's just do this.
Yeah, like I said, that's why I made the whole list thing. I wanted to get through this quick.
Yeah. Come
on.
Well...
Like we do anything quick on this. Come on.
Yeah. Right, I need to look up something really quick. All right. It is first light of the fifth day. It is dawn. You look to the east. And we have returned with the Riders of Rohan, apparently. So we're back. We have one more chunk of games to go through. We're probably going to go long on the last one.
I don't know. It might not take
probably.
No, we'll go long on the last
one. Okay. So continuing alphabetically from No Man's Sky to The Order 1886 from Ready at Dawn. Which is maybe part of the reason why I chose that quote.
I thought you were going to say maybe a game.
Also, maybe a game.
It's so weird seeing what that game, inverted commas, is or isn't.
We went this entire time without inverted commas. Why the fuck would you bring that up right now? Damn it!
Like, seriously, I don't know. Like, why... They've made interesting decisions with it. I don't know how it's going to work out. I love that setting. The fact that they're using weird weaponry is interesting. I just hope there's more to that game than what they've shown.
Well, so there was a news story that came out on, well, I don't know how newsy it was. They came out on IGN, I think today, where like the headline was that The Order is being made to basically showcase the power of the PS4. Mm-hmm. Which, like, on one hand, I find weird, given that, you know, it's not a launch title at this point.
Yeah.
Which, that's something you expect to hear out of a launch title, right? Like, this is why you should buy a PS4, not a year later, or a year and a half later. But, like, also, like, to me, when I hear this thing is being made to showcase the power of this, that means glorified tech demo. Like, that means shallow gameplay.
Yeah,
which is
exactly.
What we've seen out of that game so far.
And that's so disappointing, because, like, the premise... It's interesting and it's something they should definitely go after, but having seen what they put out, it's just that shallowness is definitely what we saw. Like, the fact that they're not even, like, the whole reveal hinted at the fact that there'd be this cool four player multiplayer aspect to it, but that's been stripped away. It looks like it's just going to be single player. It's like, it's this whole, like, I don't know, it's a big question mark. I hope it's good. I hope it's good, but whether it's going to be is a different question. I don't know.
Well, based on one trailer, we think that the multiplayer aspect is gone, or maybe I didn't
closer to your mic.
I'm pretty sure they confirmed it's just single player.
It is single player. Developer.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's confirmed the single player. But yeah, I like on the other side of it though, the fact that they went down the survival horror kind of like route for this little segment is cool, because that's a really cool like twist on the third person Gears of War shooter, is if they do have this like massive change in pace through the game of like different kind of aspects of horror. I just hope there's more enemies than just fucking werewolf people, which is what everything
I got so far. Really upset when there was an interview with one of the game directors talking about how everything they were doing was very filmic, and we're developing everything as if you're watching it through like a movie lens. I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up. You're
making like that's their concession for like, oh no, we're not settling for 30 frames. We decided on 30 frames because it's more filmic.
But it wasn't even that. He was going like, oh, you'll notice a slight curvature as if you're watching it through a movie, like movie camera lens. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's just like, come on.
Watching the trailer, I didn't feel like it was movie lens-ish.
No.
I mean, to be honest. No. I like the idea that you can go from a cut scene or a scene where you're not interacting to where you are interacting.
Yeah.
That seems to be like this year's E3 like sales point. I mean, there is more than just that game, I believe, man, that show they can do.
I don't know.
That.
I think this year's E3 thing was four-player co-op.
Like, Naughty Dog, talking about the cutscene, the gameplay thing, has had that down since Uncharted 2.
Yeah, definitely.
So fair enough. I never played any of the Uncharted series, so if they did, I apologize. They
did that really well in some parts of Uncharted.
I will say this game probably still does it better, but if the gameplay is not there, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really hope like so there's a couple points, right? This game looks cool, but the fact that they've only shown one type of enemy, the fact that they've only shown one interesting gun, and the fact that most of the stuff they showed was just third-person shooting, except for this one, which was a sequence, which is really cool in tone, but on rails, because if you actually look at the gameplay, it's just fucking on rails. That's sad. That's the sad part. That's the part I'm reserved about when it comes to the Order. That's pretty much all I had to say, really. That's why it was on my list. I'm looking forward to it. I just hope it's good.
I think that's roughly time for the Order as well.
Yep.
Moving on, I have a short little mini rapid fire, I guess. These three here don't have a lot of time. Persona Q. Which Persona game is that? I don't remember.
It's fucking cool. It's made by the guys who made Etrian Odyssey. It is like a first-person dungeon crawler where you're making the map as you go through, because it's based in Persona 3's universe. If you don't know what that means, don't worry. It's already out in Japan, so there's already a bunch of gameplay footage for it. It just looks fucking awesome.
To answer your question, Shin, that's the chibi
Persona. Okay. I always get that one and the dancing one confused, even though the dancing one has like Dance All Night in the name. I don't know why. Dance just on. my mind can't straighten those out.
Uh-huh.
Next is Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright.
My reservation with that is it came out in Japan before, and apparently it's not that great. Hopefully they mop up the writing for it, because that's what's going to sell that game or not. Because if it's written
how those games blend from a mechanic standpoint.
Well, there's always been mini games, or not really mini games, but there's like investigation-y kind of games in Phoenix Wright. And if they like tie in that stuff with the more puzzle-solving element of Professor Layton, it actually could be really cool.
I guess where I want to know is like, where's the Versus come in?
Oh, I don't think that. I think it's just a part of the fucking. They're working together, so.
God damn it!
I think that's just what's written that's down Japan on this Google Doc.
No, that's what it's called, but it's Japan.
No, that's what it's called. Yeah.
Like Shin Megami Tensei versus Fire Emblem, which that game's never coming out.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's a separate issue. And then last on this rapid fire is Scalebound, which was that Platinum game, which if you guys recall in our E3 predictions podcast, I said that there will be a Platinum game exclusive for the Xbox One on stage from Microsoft. And I was right.
Yeah, even though that was rumored, like to be fair, that was rumored. But
yeah, I'm not going to take all the credit for it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it was not what I was expecting, especially considering that the last couple of games have been very futuristic, there's Bayonetta. I don't know.
Well, I guess one of the lead guys like is Way of Dragons, so this is a dragon game, I guess. So
is it a dragon?
Good that it's Xbox One exclusive, and I don't need to play it.
That's the point, right? Because he's kind of a Dragon Rider dude. I don't know. Like, it's if it plays like a Platinum game,
a Dragon dude.
It's hard to know because like all we've seen is a CG trailer. So some people were saying like, oh, it's a Monster Hunter like game. Like I don't really know where you got that idea. But
one thing about this game, it's that it will be over the top. That's all I know.
Yeah,
which is I'm down for. It sounds good.
Platinum does a good brand of over the top.
Yes, and their games play well, which is something. And they're usually dumb, which I like as well.
Like the dedicated smoking button in Vanquish.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Which actually, I didn't realize actually distracts the enemies, but that's not the point.
I didn't know that either.
Cool. There's like an achievement or a trophy or something for using it to either distract X amount of enemies or something. I didn't know that until I was looking through the achievements.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So that's that. Moving back on to bigger stuff. Actually, from here on out, it's all pretty big stuff.
I don't think so, but okay.
In terms of the budget behind it and the potential audience, yes.
This next game sounds dumb. I don't know.
Shadow of Mordor.
Why is it
Lord of the Rings? Here?
Why?
Because they have the license.
What is this?
Because finally we get a goddamn game set in that universe that doesn't have to be tied to a movie or book. Like, we can actually explore
the lore of the world.
It's an interesting universe. Like,
it's not really.
No, what do you mean not really? Middle Earth is the fantasy universe by which literally all other fantasy universes are judged.
Right. And built upon and have changed and evolved and become more interesting since then. It was the prototype by which other fantasy games have improved upon.
I disagree. It is still the pinnacle.
Nope. It is. No, you haven't read enough fantasy. That just demonstrates that you haven't read enough fantasy. That's all.
In terms of building a world, it's unparalleled.
So what you're saying
again,
is...
it's demonstrating you haven't read enough
fantasy. So what you're saying is, by your logic, Citizen Kane is a shit movie.
It is a shit. Have you seen it? It is a shit movie. Oh my god!
I'm just beginning to like take your advice on movies less and less.
Oh my god! Like,
I'm just saying. In terms of pure volume of just how much detail there is in literally everything in Middle Earth, it's insane.
So that's the thing. Like,
it's fucking nuts.
That's the thing, Cynic. Like, that's my biggest interest with this game. Is actually the setting, because really? it's the first time that we get to see that universe and that setting that's not tied to one of the stories that Tolkien wrote. Like, somebody finally gets to take that and do something potentially interesting with it. Now, whether it turns out interesting or not, like, is to be seen. Somebody's finally getting to fucking do it.
All I'm saying is that
the fact that the gameplay sounds really interesting and the mechanics sound interesting, that's why people like it.
Squiddle.
That's why a lot of people like it. I think the whole political system sounds convoluted, and anytime I've ever seen it play out, like when they do those little like mini cutscenes of you like encountering the guys that you had encountered before, they all sound super fucking bad.
Can anyone actually explain what the fuck this game is in a way that makes sense?
Hold on. Okay, I'll explain it in a way that'll make sense to Squiddle.
Okay.
At
least in terms of worlds.
I'll explain to you.
I'm still stuck on this.
If we're talking
about German power metal band Blind Guardian, right?
Okay. All right, I'm with you.
They write a lot of stuff based on works of fantasy.
Yes, they did.
Wheel of Time got one, like, I want to say 13, 14 minute song, right?
Yep.
Entitled Wheel of Time. The Silmarillion got an entire album.
That's because they're fucking fanboys.
Entitled Nightfall in Middle Earth.
Oh my god.
65 minute album. Cynic.
So Cynic, to answer your question, now granted, I don't know what so you play as this dude who dies in the beginning and becomes fused with a wraith for whatever reason, and his end goal is to not to defeat Sauron, because obviously we know that doesn't happen, but to, I guess, like, avenge the people who did this to him.
Mm-hmm.
The gameplay itself really comes down to you're playing in this open world within Middle Earth that takes place sometime between Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, I believe. Right. Combat-wise is a derivative of Batman combat with this political simulation going on. Where you are influencing and changing the political or the military ranking of the orcs to bend to your will.
Let me take a stab at that. Imagine the Batman combat, but instead of Batman, you're another crime lord and you're trying to take over the city. And so what you want to do is influence the lieutenants and the captains to join your side, either by like convincing them to go suicidal and kill the like each crime boss of the city of Gotham Ordor.
Gotham Ordor, okay.
Ordor.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So, but if that lieutenant or captain or whatever doesn't bend to your will and in fact kicks the shit out of you, they become a new crime lord. So it's taking away like the Joker and like in those names, but instead of it, it's creating this really neat and intricate like system for a bunch of enemies.
Right.
Okay. So it sounds like you can become Nightwing essentially.
So, let's say the Joker started out as a lackey, and you encounter him for the first time, and because you are, you know, not used to the gameplay or whatever, like he defeats you in combat. Then he, instead of being a lackey, next time he is, you know, a low end boss within the crime syndicate, and you encounter him again at a later point in the game. Completely randomly, like this isn't like all, you know, scripted or anything. You can, you know, encounter him again later, and let's say again he defeats you because you're maybe not great at the game, or you know, he tricks you or whatever. He defeats you again, and then he becomes like, you know, boss lord. Like every time, basically like you can defeat them and kind of bend them to your will, or just kill them if you want to, or if they defeat you, they actually get a promotion within their ranks.
Okay, Cynic. Pretty much, you can have the orc's death level. If you understand what I'm referencing, like Guild Wars 1 death leveling.
Right.
So basically, but my question is, it's Batman meets Democracy 3.
Why is that interesting?
The whole political system, like that's something that hasn't really been done a lot in games, so I can see why a lot of people are really interested in that. I think that their implementation of it seems very simplistic and will get old pretty quickly. Exactly. For me, what I'm interested in is, again, like is them visiting this setting that is not constrained to, oh, we're going to follow the ring and all this and everything else. Like, I'm interested to see other stories being told in that universe.
Especially if you already like the universe and they find like elven weapons and the elven weapons of history. And there's a bunch of stuff they can do, right?
Right. And that's what I'm interested in. I actually think that all the political stuff is fucking garbage and could be better implemented, but I'm super interested in that setting.
Is the world itself going to be closer to a Skyrim? Like, is it like a place where you're expecting a lot of dynamic, smaller, or more like dense events happening? Or is there like one storyline you're playing through?
Well, there is a storyline. I mean, there is a storyline in Skyrim as well, but there is a storyline in this game, but you can kind of go about it however you kind of want to. Like, there is no like, okay, my main mission tells me I need to now go find this guy and I need to infiltrate these ranks and I need to go and you know, defeat this guy so that then this will happen. Like, none of that really seems like it exists. It is more so kind of this overall, like, this is kind of your end goal. Now, go do it.
Right. But I don't know. Like, again, that sounds interesting, I guess, but it's not interesting enough to me for me to go, wow, I can see why everyone's talking about this Shadows of Mordor, or Shadow Singular of Mordor game. I don't know. Yeah, it seems like another
I think a lot of it too is especially
So it looks like another game.
Feels like a proper potential next gen experience.
Cynic, where would you what genre of game would you place this in? Like what compare it to another game?
Well, okay, so specifically, right? I look at this and say, okay, that's kind of cool. But then I look at the game we'll be talking about later, The fucking Witcher, and go, that is what I fucking want. That is, I mean, okay.
The thing is, like, I see where you're going, third. This is a third person action strategy game.
Yeah.
Like, that's how
it's not an RPG like The Witcher is.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, is there a strategy element of it from like a top down perspective? Or is it
the political system is the strategy system built into this game.
That's not really a strategy system.
It's moving your pawns in place to do certain things.
Yeah,
at some point, getting down to semantics and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's no less strategy than chess.
I'm cutting this off.
Literally a game of chess.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I'm unconvinced. That's my written down
summary. I still think you're fucking crazy about the fantasy thing, but that's a separate argument. Yeah. Next is Super Smash Brothers Wii U and Super Smash Bros. 3DS. I'm just going to get in front of this now and say that people that call Super Smash Bros. Smash are horrible.
Wait, hold on a second.
How do you feel about Smash Bros?
Smash, really?
Smash Bros. Is fine.
Okay.
If you want to refer to each individual game by just their subtitle, by saying Melee or Brawl, Melee also Brawl. Fine.
Right. Okay. I agree.
People who just say Smash are terrible.
I have never heard it as just Smash.
Consider yourself lucky.
People who call it Smash are the kind of people who file down their start button so they don't accidentally hit it.
Yep. But to be honest, I never heard people call it Smash Bros. Either until just very recently.
I mean, if you're like typing out Smash Brothers, you can just put, you know, Smash Bros. The same way you would Super Mario Bros.
Well, sure, if you're typing. But I've actually heard people recently that say Smash Bros. And not brother. Like, if you're talking...
That's fine. That's fine. Smash
Brothers. To be fair, we live at the age of the bro, so that's just going to kind of happen.
What about getting like really into the theme of it and just like Super Smash?
Because then at that point, I just want to say Power Stone and just call it quits.
Shin, going back to your point about like calling it by their individual subtitles, like that actually kind of was what makes me sad about this one, is that they could be creative enough to
find out. I'm really excited for 3DS to come out this October.
I don't know. I'm going to hold out for Wii U.
You mean for Wii U?
For Wii U.
Wii U 4? Wii U 4?
I'm going to hold out for Wii U.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually super, super stoked. I can't decide
you're
if I
care. You're super excited?
I can't decide Super if I'm actually episode? Excited about the 3DS version. I'm glad they got it running 60 frames on the 3DS. I feel like that's already a pretty big accomplishment. But it's also, like, I'm picturing playing that game with that thumb pad thing.
Oh, the circle pad?
Hold on. Can you actually tell a difference between 60 and 30 frames on 3DS? Honestly asking, because I've never had a game where I can say, that's 30. Okay, that's
60. Okay. Are you differentiating 3DS compared to anything else? Because the screen's a screen. I can tell 30 to 60 on any screen.
Well, I will.
Well, the thing is,
I can't really tell it, to be honest.
With Nintendo stuff, most of their stuff runs at 60. So.
Okay. Then at least I have a base. God bless them. Because
most of their mods.
When it comes to audio, Shin, you and I both agree. I can tell the difference. When it comes to visuals, I'm not very good at saying,
The 3DS is a weird one because I don't know how many games you have on there, but there's a good chance that most of them all run at 60. So it's not like you have anything to compare against.
Really? Yeah, Zelda and Zelda and the other one is... What's the other one I have? You know the other one I have.
See, I played Street Fighter on 3DS, and that does not run at 60, so...
Well, who the hell buys Street Fighter on 3DS?
And the person who buys a 3DS at launch, and there's...
Oh, I was saying, because, like, knowing that Squiddle, I know he has Zelda, and I know he doesn't have a bunch of games.
Oh, okay.
So I sort of took a guess.
But yeah, the...
What's the other one I have, though?
I don't know. Do you have Pokemon?
No, it's the other one. Not Fire Emblem, it's the other one. Bravely Default.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So those are the two. I have Zelda and Bravely Default. That's it. That's all I have.
Okay. You're sure they're
not. Yeah, go back to Smash. Though, like, Smash Brothers. I am excited enough about Smash Brothers that I will most likely buy that adapter so that I can play it with a GameCube controller.
Oh, fuck you.
Because that is the only way to play Smash Brothers.
I like it.
The only way is with a N64 and done.
Oh, God. That game ran at like 5 frames per second. I can't play it anymore. But no, yeah, I'll pay the $20 because I have GameCube controllers.
It's really not a bad price, all things considered.
No, it's really not. I mean,
well, if you have the controllers,
Wavebird is impossible to find, and that's
I threw my controllers out or gave them away.
I'll tell you what. I got rid of my. Funny. I'm borrowing a GameCube from someone right now to play through the Prime games. I've had it for a while, but the GameCube controller. The triggers, if you want to call them that, are really bad, and it's kind of is like cramping my hand like horribly because the controllers are also very small. I actually like the layout of the GameCube controller. I just wish it was bigger.
I can agree with that.
So,
but you can play so much of that game though with the analog stick.
I'm just saying. I'll tell you what. This person also has a Wavebird that I'm going to borrow, and they're the same person that has that copy of Xenoblade.
Oh wow!
So.
I will say, which pad on that controller is the yellow nub? What is that considered? Is that the...
Is it a C-stick?
Is it the C-stick? Or,
yeah.
I love that little nub. The nub was awesome.
Oh, the GameCube controller is the best game, is the best Nintendo home console controller.
I guess if you don't count the Pro controller,
like outside, like the default one that comes, the one that just comes in the box by default. Okay. That's the one.
I'll agree. Yeah. But anyway, okay. So Smash Brothers is exciting. Can't wait to play it. Next game.
Oh, thank God.
Yes. I'll probably get Smash Brothers because I'll probably end up getting a Wii U soon, but I'm not going to get it for 3DS. I don't like Smash Brothers, but it's a good party game. There's no really other way to say it. It's a good party game. Moving on to Tom Clancy's The Division.
Clancy?
You don't remember that from Ubisoft a few years ago?
I don't.
Their host couldn't say Clancy. He said Clancy every time.
That sounds like an Ubisoft
person. Or, excuse me, as it's written here, Tom Clancy's The Div Scion.
I'm glad you noticed that, too. yeah, it was nice to see actual gameplay of that game again, but it's so far off.
God, that was a laughable demonstration, though. Those fucking Ubisoft online...
Yeah, they tried.
I mean, the gameplay itself looked neat.
Yeah, the gameplay looked fine, yeah. They were terrible about doing a stage demo. Yeah. not nearly as bad as Little Big Planet 3, but still pretty bad.
I thought that was great. I enjoyed every moment of that.
I should really like. Yeah,
I mean, to be fair, it's hard to do a very timed action platformer when you're looking at like 3 seconds of delay.
Right. I thought that was so sincere and so adorable.
Yeah, I loved it.
But yeah, I mean, like, there's not much to say about the Division, really. Like, it's so far it off. Good. It looks good. It looks like a decent third person cover shooter.
You, and by you, I mean the listeners at home, should go watch that CGI trailer they put out, because it is fantastic.
That is really good.
Fantastic is, I think it was a nice.
You also don't like anything. So moving on to another thing you don't like,
because I've never like the idea of seeing a post apocalyptic.
Cynic, I don't think you heard me. I'm moving on without you to Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. See, this is what happens when I'm in charge. Things get done. This was Ubisoft's one last thing this year. They've sort of had a hot run between this, Watch Dogs 2 years ago, and then Tom Clancy's The Division last year. This is the last thing. It's sort of at least in the way they showed, 5-on-5. Competitive is a weird word, but it's a competitive shooter. It seems to be more slow-paced than your typical online multiplayer shooter. What did you guys think?
The match lasted like 5 minutes. And was like tense for every fucking second of it.
Yep.
Like, granted, a lot of that might have been their acting.
That was super scripted,
which was not great, but it was better than the Division's acting. Yeah, it was but I liked the pre-planning beforehand. I was mentioning during our break, like, I never got a chance to play SWAT 4, but I guess that's one of the big key things that was in that game. And this game seems to take a lot of pages out of that game's playbook. Which has me super excited because I always wanted to play a game like that. The level destruction was really cool. Like, where the sniper couldn't see in the house, so the dude like shot the wall to make a hole so she could see and take out the dude with the shield. That was really awesome. I'm a little worried because like I was watching the gameplay demo and I was like, man, this is super cool. And I told a friend about it and he was like, what would really like, what's the incentive for the captors not to just kill the hostage? And I was like,
this is my problem. This is my problem with a lot of these games, is that it's not the game's fault, because a lot of them are only as good as the people that are playing.
Right.
When it comes to having these really big tense moments, instead of just like John Dude Bro storming in, guns blazing.
Well, and I, like, yes, you could say like they would lose, but at that point, like, literally their only objective then is to just last for 5 minutes. Like, their objective is essentially last 5 minutes or kill all of the opposing people, which is kind of not a great objective. So, like, I don't know. That can go either way.
Would preferred be, like, you can never actually kill the hostage, but, like, the
like maybe she can, like, they can only be downed or something?
Yeah, they can damage her or something.
I'd be okay
make
with
it
that.
So yeah, only, make it so only the people that are trying to capture the hostage, not capture, but, like, rescue the hostage can hurt the hostage.
Well, no, like, it's okay that the other people can hurt the hostage, because downing the hostage is a big deal, because then if they're kind of on the move and the hostage gets downed, they have to kind of go back and like defend the area while they get the hostage back up again.
So what if we do it like what Counter-Strike did? I think if you kill like more than two hostages, you got killed yourself. Like, you were out.
Well, think about that. Like, this had one hostage.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the trailer, so I'm sorry.
This was basically like a team of five storming like a two-story house trying to rescue this woman.
Yeah, and they had 5 minutes to do so. So, like, it was super, super tense, super, like, not fast-paced, but it felt like it. Because
it sounds like Call of Duty 2 in a weird way.
Not particularly.
I remember a mission in Call of Duty. It was very similar.
Yeah, it was super interesting because it was, again, something I mentioned during the break is, like, if this game turns out to be kind of the game that demo portrayed it as, the Payday guys need to come up with something different.
Yeah.
Because otherwise
you could easily expand that to a bunch of hostages in a bank lobby.
Right, yeah. Or, I mean, all kinds of different scenarios.
Rescue really. The
yeah.
president.
I was just using that as an
example. Storming Air Force One.
Get off my plane.
This game could potentially be super interesting, or it could potentially be the next Rainbow Six Patriots. So who knows? But it sounded really cool, and that gameplay demo was interesting.
Yep, it was. Okay. So Ubisoft 3 for 3 so last 3 years.
Rewatch the Division trailer. It's pretty good. I'll give you that. I think the very end lets it down. The very end lets it down. Everything else.
God damn it.
Moving on to a game that I'm not going to say the actual name of.
Come on, say it.
I actually don't know what it is. Is it
what is
Rise
of the
Tomb
Raider?
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
The Rise of the Raider of Tombs, the, I think is the...
Sorry, Mark.
The way I interpreted that trailer was, now she's essentially addicted to killing people.
And she likes raiding.
No, it's not that she's addicted. It was more so like after the trauma that she went through in that first game, which, I mean, you know, if you play that first game, that as a regular person, that would be very fucking traumatic.
So she now has a hunger for blood. You know, it's the hunger.
After the trauma that she went through there, like, she has to go see a fucking therapist just to get her mind straight again.
It transitions to her just fucking firing arrows into people's heads.
Then it's cutting to, like, clearly at some point after these therapy sessions, she ends up in another scenario like that again, and she's having to deal with that all over again.
Yep. I think it's a really interesting premise. And I really like that first game.
I was super excited to see they brought the bow back.
Have both of you played the original?
Yes.
Okay, that's probably why, because I haven't, and my interpretation is based upon that. So you can probably see that an external person sees that and goes, what the fuck is going on?
So it is literally like her struggle with like every, like all the, you know, I mean, that first game, like she, you know, for the first time she kills somebody, like that was a big deal in the game, and kind of throughout it, like she goes through some shit. And for them
one of the major criticisms was she goes from fucking crying over killing one person, then goes on to kill many, many, many
which
others.
Is why she's now in therapy, because that has fucked her up.
Right. Like they that's the whole point.
At least that's how I saw it.
Yeah, that's what I saw too. Like, that was kind of the whole point of the trailer, is addressing like she did kind of transform as a person. And, you know, it's the same idea of, like, you know, somebody who goes off to war, like, you know, they come back and, you know, some of them do need therapy because it's hard for them to fit back into, quote unquote, civilian life. And, you know, this is kind of, you know, obviously an extreme portrayal of something like that, and a video game portrayal of something like that. But then, like, those cuts to her, like, killing people or whatever, or, like, you know, all those other cuts, that was cuts to, like, gameplay potentially from the second game. Like, it's not... These are not like cuts back to like, oh, now she's this hardcore.
That's a given. That's a given. Obvious there was gameplay that came later because it's a different place.
That being said, I really like that first game and want to see another one. So,
yeah, the ending to that first game had me super pumped to see what the next game is.
I've actually never played the ending. I own the game. Yeah. I bought it. I think Shin, you sent me the link on Amazon to get it for like $2 or whatever. I bought it and. Never played through to the ending. So
if you watched my stream last year, I played probably 70% of that game on my extra live stream last year.
Right, and I watched a lot of it, but I stopped because I didn't want to. I think
that makes sense.
I went to bed. I didn't want to see the ending. I remember that because I wanted to play through it. But I find it interesting in games. I just want small tangent. nowadays that we have to, when we play a game, a character does so much killing that we have to assign a medical condition of either schizophrenia or bipolar or craziness to them because they've done it.
That's kind of how it works.
Have them go to a therapist, where before it was just like, new game, and they're still killing people, and new game, and they're killing people.
I mean, there's still plenty of those games where you just go around. Yeah,
Broforce was released last year.
Sure.
This year. So it's more so that the whole point of that first game was, it was really, I mean, there were a lot of Tomb Raider games before this, and in every one of them, Lara Croft as a character was not a character. Lara Croft was...
icon.
She was a two-dimensional... Yeah, she was an icon. Like, there was character development to her at all.
To end Tomb Raider?
Sure.
Speaking of characters that murder obscene amounts of people and are still happy-go-lucky about it...
I don't give a fuck!
I thought you were going to go a different way. Speaking of a character whose plot or whose story was Uncharted...
Speaking of a game where Thurb thought he wrote something witty, but I'm just going to read the actual name of the game. Uncharted 4 A Thief's End was announced, and I was just like, you're not the last Guardian, and then I was sad.
I'm 100% sold. But
at least I'm happy that they say, I never played the Uncharted series, but I'm happy that at least they said, you know, the end. They had a conclusion in the name of the title instead of, there could be more.
Very much hoping,
I was,
you know? The last fucking
game. I was not sold on it until I saw that. I was like, okay, The Thief's End, I'll play this game.
Yes, if it's the last one, this is going to be good. Especially if it's being directed by Druckmann.
Now, I will say...
See, I actually think I was less excited because it's directed by Druckmann.
Way more excited. That's
right. I will say I was tricked once before because I finished the fucking fight and then they kept going.
I was tricked once before because I played a Druckmann-directed game.
Yeah. Let's not get into us talking about The Last of Us, but the point is... For me, the reason I put it on my list, because my list was the one I think that put it here, was Naughty Dog making finally the transition to 60 frames on the new consoles.
Yep, because because regardless of what you say about The Last of Us from a writing standpoint, a gameplay standpoint, there is absolutely no arguing that game ran well. It did not.
Yeah,
period.
It did not.
End
it
of discussion.
Did, well, it didn't run fantastically. It ran well
enough
for
poorly.
Me. It didn't run well enough for you.
It ran poorly.
It did not run poorly.
That is a statement. That is a fact. That game ran poorly.
It did not run poorly.
No, you're just okay with it running poorly.
Remember, it running poorly either.
Yeah, it didn't run poorly.
It ran so bad. Oh, my God.
I have come to the conclusion that my eyes are not as good as my ears. And I don't know. I guess I can't recognize it as being 30.
Because like it so ran way worse than the Uncharted games. Because those ran all right.
No, three in some parts fucking chugged.
Well, where? Because I didn't play all the way through it.
It's definitely from that ship and onwards.
Okay, because I stopped at the ship because the ship level was horrible.
It's just a fucking desert, but yeah, the ship was
hard. Anyway, that's okay. I'm just gonna level here. That ship is the reason I'm not excited for Uncharted 4. I'm just going to be completely honest.
I think that the fact that he has gray in his hair made me excited. A weaker Drake, the weakness of Drake was what made Uncharted 2 so good. The fact that he wasn't all powerful, the fact that he failed in some areas, that was what made Uncharted 2 so good.
So he becomes Big Boss now that he has gray in his hair.
Yeah, well, Big Boss is still a badass. I don't know.
God damn. Wait, Big Boss or The Boss?
The Boss is a woman. What are you talking about?
Of course,
I don't understand the Uncharted series, and I don't pretend to understand it.
I'm just going down a Neil Druckmann warpath right now. Don't mind me.
Whatever, dude. Naughty Dog's moving to 60 frames.
That's good news. Universally.
Now, hopefully they can. Just,
and that was running real time. That's another thing I should know. That thing was running real time on PS4, 60 frames. That was the example.
The shooting feels fine. It's just
The shooting's terrible in every one of those games.
Just the enemies are bullet sponges.
Which in The Last of Us?
Uncharted games.
Oh, yeah, Uncharted games. Yeah.
Please, anyway, no. My hate for The Last of Us is rational.
Literally, all I need to say was Naughty Dog 60 frames. I'm sold. Move on.
Yeah, because when I bought my PS4, I'm like, this is going to be an MLB machine and a Naughty Dog machine, because I'm always interested to see what they do from a tech point of view, because The Last of Us ran like shit, but it looked all right for a PS3 game.
God damn it. Let's just move on before I get mad.
You have to remember Shin's ridiculous expectations for stuff, though.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm sorry that I want games to have a stable frame rate.
30 frames is shit.
No,
that game did not run at 30 frames.
Just because it's not Persona and doesn't have a system where two characters show up on the screen and then text doesn't mean it's a bad game, okay?
I argue it's a good... What are you even talking about?
What is going on?
If you were still in Boston, that game ran terrible. Anyway... I'm not super interested in Uncharted 4 because I thought Uncharted 3 was bad, but from a tech point of view, it looks interesting.
Xenoblade Chronicles X Cross. Thurb?
Jesus fucking Christ, Thurb. I was getting there.
Were you? Because it seemed like you just kept wanting to bash that game.
You were clearly not getting there.
Podcast beef.
I was.
You were joined.
All right. Thurb's just mad because Spelunky lost the community vote.
Xenoblade Chronicles Cross. That's why.
Is it actually Cross?
Yeah.
Is it Cross?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Extra Cross. Is it extra
Cross? Xenoblade Chronicles 10.
10 Cross.
It's always confusing because there's Monolith and then there's Monolith Soft. The Xenoblade games are Monolith Soft.
Okay. If I recall.
And then, like, Shadows of Mordor, I'm pretty sure, is Monolith Productions.
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Or Monolith...
Anyway.
I just think it's Squaresoft.
Different company.
One of the Japanese.
So, okay. Did you play Xenoblade on the Wii?
No.
Okay, because people really seem to like that game. There was a PS2 game?
No, there was not. It's a Wii game.
I think you might be thinking of Xenosaga.
Xenosaga, sorry. Yeah,
completely different game.
Yeah, Xenoblade is different. So what I recall Xenoblade is...
I own the DVD, actually. I'm not even kidding. They released a DVD, I think it's actually like a 2-DVD set of the cuts from Xenosaga 2.
Is it a hentai?
I mean, it's a Japanese...
I'm not letting this podcast go down that road. I'm cutting you off.
Xenoblade Chronicles X. So
what I recall about Xenoblade is,
and why was the first one so good?
So Xenoblade was a Wii game which was released solely in Japan. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, it was released everywhere else. It was just very limited release in America.
Yeah, so it was originally released solely in Japan, and what essentially built up around it was this fervor that it was apparently one of the best JRPGs ever made. It got massive reviews from all the Japanese publications, etc. The Japanese public really loved it, but never came over here until, I think it was like last year or the year after, or the year before, sorry, that Nintendo finally launched the localization effort to bring it over.
Yeah,
it was brought over and then disappeared into the wayside because it turned out that some people think it is the greatest RPG of all time, and other people think
it came out in Australia in 2011.
To be fair, here in America, it was only released in GameStop originally.
Yeah,
well,
it was a GameStop exclusive release.
Games.
So that's kind of why it died here.
Wait, EB or just GameStop? There's GameStop back then.
They're all the same company.
They're all the same company here.
It dying. It wasn't necessarily released for there wasn't a second publishing for it. It was just essentially sent there like one or a couple times.
It was a very limited print.
Very, very limited, yeah.
Because there wasn't that much demand for it. The game didn't actually review that well here, nor did it get much recognition for being as great as people thought it was here. Like, it's this is a weird area where some people think it is fucking amazing and other people think it's all right.
All I know about Xenoblade Chronicles is that the characters never shut the hell up in combat.
So Cynic, it's basically like a Persona game in that regard.
Yeah, exactly. So it's in this case, it is a weird case where the people who like me who fucking love a particular thing are ramping up Xenoblade Chronicles Cross. But I, as a person who sits on the other side of this fence, I don't see the allure of it.
Like, the reason I added it to the list at all was because it's basically the RPG for the Wii U.
Yeah. Well, it's like the JRPG at the moment. There's nothing else coming except Persona 5, but
then
15 eventually.
That game's never coming out.
It is.
Which
as you slowly realize that that is true.
It'll come out eventually, and it'll just be PlayStation Plus free because they can't. It needs to come out because they can't make another one until it comes out.
Like it has to come out. Parts 3 until it's out. You're right.
Okay, in that case, it can just go ahead and stay in limbo.
Yeah, Final Fantasy XV.
I won't get into an argument with you over Kingdom Hearts.
Final Fantasy XV nor Kingdom Hearts 3 are happening this generation. I'm just going to put that out there.
I don't know. It stands as good a chance as Last Guardian.
The Last of Us is coming out this generation. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's coming in a couple days.
All right, so we'll move on to the...
The only game that matters on this list, literally the only one.
The game that needs to come out so that the important game actually can come out.
The Witcher 3. What? I'm very excited for The Witcher 3. And
no, I am too, but I'm like almost more excited for
Cyberpunk. I am more excited for Cyberpunk, but I'm very excited for The Witcher 3 because it's actually a thing.
True.
Cyberpunk 2077 right now is an idea with an amazing trailer.
That trailer looks really good.
That trailer hit too many pleasure sensors of mine, and I couldn't handle it. I actually have the scene of the dude sort of holding the gun up to the woman's head with like her blade arms out and just bodies everywhere as my wallpaper, my desktop.
Shin, I almost speaking of Witcher 3, Do you see the tweet that went out at some point? I don't know who sent it, but the actual emblem you could buy in Germany that somebody had produced, you could buy of Geralt's lion head.
Geralt?
Geralt's head. Yeah. His necklace. You could actually buy
the white wolf? The wolf necklace?
There's a couple places you can...
Of the school of the wolf? This is sort of a PSA during the Steam sale. If you're looking to pre-order The Witcher 3 on GOG, it was the case on the first day because of the daily sales, but... If you own The Witcher 2 and The Witcher on GOG, which if you own them anywhere, you punch in the code and you get a GOG copy, you get a discount on The Witcher 3 up to 20%. It's 15% if you own one and 20% if you own both. And it was at the point where the collective cost of those two games on Steam was less than the total discount you would get. So, for example, I had The Witcher 2. And if I had The Witcher, I would have gotten an additional $3 off the GOG pre-order, and The Witcher was $2. So I paid $2 to get a $3 discount.
that applies if you already own the games.
How does that work if you have the physical version of one of
you punch in the CD key into GOG.
Okay, cool.
That's how it works. I was surprised.
So you're talking about like $45 then?
It's like $47 or something.
Okay.
I clicked on it on Steam and so you get 10% off, and I clicked on it and said, nope, you get 15 because you own Witcher 2. And I was like, yes, I'm happy with that.
Even without the sales, because at the summer sale, they had they have a Witcher Trilogy Pack, which is just straight $70 for the three games, which is a very good deal.
Wow, yeah.
This is going exactly the way I thought it would go. Bucks. In that there is not much to actually say about The Witcher 3 aside from it looks fucking awesome.
It's okay for anyone who could possibly be uninitiated to what The Witcher 3 is. Anybody want to describe the basic idea of it?
It is an open world role playing game made by CD Projekt Red, who are based out of Poland. The universe that the games take place in is based on the series of novels by... Oh, God, what is that author's name? It's like Andrzej... I have the books across the room, but I can't see his last name. My eyesight's bad.
Keep going. I'll see if I can find it here.
The universe is the same, but the author doesn't like the games. So if you ever hear the developers talk about their influences, they don't mention the books. They mention like Slavic culture and legend as a whole, which I think is interesting. It's a similar situation with Metro, actually, where the author just hates the games.
Yeah, apparently Russians just can't deal.
Russians, he's Polish.
Oh, sorry. I actually legitimately apologize.
We are countrymen.
I legitimately apologize for that. Wasn't the Metro guy Russian?
Metro guy was.
Okay, cool. Cool, at least I was wrong.
Witcher guy they're both Polish. You're only half racist. It's okay. It is Unlike the previous Witcher games, which at least the Witcher 2 had a bunch of open areas, but it wasn't open world. This is completely open world. They do the whole, hey, if you see that mountain, you can go across it thing. It tells the story of the Wild Hunt, which I was looking it up. It's actually a thing in a lot of legends. It's pretty much a gang, if you will, of wraiths that go around and slaughter people and are an omen of terrible things.
It is Andrzej Sapkowski.
You're saying it wrong. No, just
Andrzej Sapkowski. But at least I didn't call him Russian.
Sapkowski is a very easy name to pronounce. It's the Andrzej that's the harder one.
Yeah, there's a Z in there that I don't even know how that fits in.
Andrzej?
Don't worry about it. It's just Andrzej. It's fine. Those names are weird.
The Witcher name is essentially fantastic combat, fantastic role playing, really good moral choices, a really gray world that's really like fun to interact with.
And you mean gray morally speaking?
Yes.
Yeah, it's actually a very colorful world, surprisingly.
Yeah. I mean, morally speaking.
And they're known for pushing hardware.
Yeah, and they look fantastic. I think this is interesting in that I'm not sure which between this and Assassin's Creed it's not Assassin's Creed. One of the other open world games that was announced might look better, but this looks really good.
I don't know. Just the amount of detail and everything. I think this game will look better simply because even if you look at The Witcher 2, I don't think I have seen a game with more detailed character models in terms of the gear that they're wearing and stuff. The Witcher 2 is just insane with that.
Yeah, not including mods, definitely.
No, not including mods, obviously.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
You know, you can go however crazy you want with mods, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. People are always crazier than the developers. But yeah, no,
they have more time.
That Griffin fight was, I love that they pulled up the fucking menu for like equipping shit and equipped shit. And I loved that they fucking sat there and meditated.
It's a PC game. We got a big inventory.
I knew everything that I needed to know about that game when during the stage demo on television at E3, the dude went, hold on, I need to switch a weapon, and opened up the inventory and switched to the correct weapon in the middle of a big stage
demo. That stage demo is probably the best stage demo I've seen, because it showed that part of it. It showed the tracking. It showed a moral choice and interaction with an NPC that you would interact with later. Like,
it's just like, I don't care. I'm playing an RPG. I need to have the right gear equipped, and I'm going to do that in the middle of this demo.
Yeah. That was clearly intentional. Like, they wanted to show the interface. They wanted to show what the game fucking is, because it's an RPG-ass RPG.
Yeah.
And it's really well done. The only reason it didn't become a game of show was because Nintendo fucking announced Zelda Skyrim.
Because I then went and reinstalled The Witcher 2 and started that again. And then I went to the store and bought the two Witcher books that are officially translated to English.
So
nice.
Speaking of going back, because that's something I've obviously been doing with Dragon Age and Metal Gear. So with The Witcher, how necessary is the first one?
Not. I haven't played the first one.
Okay, this is how necessary it is. In the second one, he has got amnesia. Don't do it.
CD Projekt put out a like 5-6 minute animated thing detailing the story of the first game.
Yeah, okay. Really, the fact that they did that tells me that they don't want me to play the first one, so I'll just do that then.
It's funny because they even said with this game, like, you can come in fresh.
The second one I've heard is a really great game, it's still recent enough that it... The first game does not necessarily hold up well mechanic-wise or visually.
It doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it still looks better than most games out there.
Right. Aside from maybe some weird overexposure of colors.
You should install the Total Combat Rebalance.
Was that an official mod, or is that a...
Yes. It was a mod that was designed and put together by the dude who was the lead combat designer for The Witcher 3.
Okay.
So... It was pretty much a beta for The Witcher 3 combat.
Yeah, but between The Witcher and Dragon Age, I don't know which looks better, but both look fantastic. And The Witcher is far, far more... Because the coolest thing about The Witcher, and the reason I like the gameplay demo so much, is because the idea is your choices will reflect in the world more so than Fable, which is just like, okay, every fucking 10 hours we'll jump 20 years into the future. You actually see your choices spread out through the world and do things. That's fucking awesome. I can't wait for that. Something Skyrim was missing, because you do something like you become the head of the fucking mage guild and the fucking other guilds at the same time. Like, it makes no sense. There's no cross pollination, whereas they're looking to actually try and do that in The Witcher. That's man.
All right. So, any closing thoughts on The Witcher then?
I want that game. I want that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those games that, like, I think when it comes out, I might want to take some time off for it.
Yeah, it was funny because we were joking on Mumble that if you pre-order The Witcher 3 on GOG, you get into the beta instantly for the Witcher Adventure game. You can actually get access for two. I guess it's sort of like not an RPG, but I guess like a co-op sort of storytelling adventure game. So we were joking that Loopy was going to be Triss and I was going to be Geralt and we were going to bone and it was going to be really awkward.
Man. Those scenes from the games were fucking awkward when I was
sitting there. Is there anything specific about the date on that other than just 2015?
February 24th.
Okay, cool. Not too long. Awesome. I was really afraid it was going to be like a holiday 2014.
No, they said when they delayed it to 2015, they delayed it to February.
Okay, cool. I guess
I'm like way back when. They just sort of gave it a specific day at E3, I think.
Okay, cool.
My only issue with that is I'm going to have to play it on console because I don't think I can afford buying a new PC by then.
I'll probably be upgrading around then. I want to see what NVIDIA does with their 800 series if it ever fucking comes out.
All I can think of is NVIDIA's new video cards, new water block for my PC. So I'm sad about that, but I'll probably end
up. They've been annoying when it comes to water blocks lately and like not having them available because different cards are using different size like PCBs, and it's really strange.
I think computer-wise, I think I'm in an okay place for Witcher 3. I think I upgraded recently enough that I'm...
What do you have, a 780, 770?
770.
Yeah, you might be fine.
And I would
have a
version just to have the extra VRAM.
I have a 790, 7990 or 980.
AMD card.
The next, I do. The next upgrade I do will be a dual video card setup with water blocks, and I'm not gonna. After that, will be at least a good 4 or 5 years before I upgrade.
That might be if I do something at all next year, I might just buy another 770 and just SLI them. Like that'll probably be the extent of it at this point. I figure that makes a lot more sense than what I've been doing, which is every year or two just buying a brand new video card and replacing the old one. Now the SLI actually does something.
I wonder if my X860 Ti will actually run that 60. I doubt it.
Who knows?
Who knows? And with that, I think you should.
Yeah, that's the last game on this list, and nothing's going to top it, as far as I'm concerned.
It's time to eat dinner. Yay!
I guess we'll roll right on into. Is there anything from E3 or otherwise?
How did Evolve get crossed off, but was never put on the list?
Because no one cares about it. All right, moving on.
Must have missed it. Sorry.
God damn it. Evolve looks interesting. I don't know about $60. Okay,
we cool. Move on.
Yeah, agreed. That's what I'm
asking. Anyone while I have this shownotes.txt open?
What's his face? No, like the only other takeaways I have from E3 is all the conferences sucked. The Oculus stuff, the Morpheus stuff was. I was hoping for them to do more than just say they're still doing it. Oculus was.
All I expected them to do, so that was not surprising at all.
Yeah, but aside from that, it was a E3 with games, most of them coming out in the future, which is kind of what we expected. So.
Yeah.
Any other plugs? That's what I meant by the show notes.
I got two. Valve did on I guess they're doing some Team Fortress 2 update, but the main cool thing is that the people behind the Valve Sourcemaker have made another thing that is in fact 15 minutes long.
Involves bread.
Yeah, involves bread. It also involves Ashley Birch voicing some female character that's from the comics. I didn't even realize there were comics till recently, but it's a cool thing. And the other plug is several episodes ago, I talked about a free like student project stealth game called Path of Shadows, which I'm not actually sure if the free prototype is available still, but the team of students have now made their own company, and they're based in Barcelona, and are trying to make a Kickstarter for that game. It's now called Twin Souls. But give it a look. If the demo is still available, it's going to play the same, though not necessarily have the same like story. But yeah, it looks kind of neat.
Cool.
Anyone else?
Sure.
I would say. Sorry.
Go Durin.
I'll plug Summer Games Done Quick starting up on Sunday. Yes, so it runs June 22nd through June 28th. For anyone who doesn't know, it's basically the speedrunning community gets together and they run these benefits at least a couple times a year. I'm not sure how often exactly.
Twice.
Where they raise money for Doctors Without Borders. So you can go and check that stuff out and pledge money to that. It's probably going to be on their Twitch channel, I imagine, which I unfortunately don't have right in front of me. I imagine it's something along the lines of twitch.com or twitch.tv. Yeah. / Games Done Quick would be my guess.
I think it's the Speed Demos Archive channel. Okay. But pretty much what's awesome is that Twitch gets behind these guys, and it's usually on the front page.
Okay. For the week. If you're not sure, just go to gamesdonequick.com.
If you're not sure, just go to google.com and type Goggle? In Summer Games. Yeah, it's actually Goggle. It's like a little Goggle, two little okay. O sounds.
Goggle. Yeah. Yep.
And if you happen to be in the area, I guess it's going to be at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Denver, Colorado.
Hmm.
Okay, Squiddle, did you have something?
I have on my list that I created the Sherlock Holmes Crimes and Punishment. Looked very interesting.
Is it Crimes and Punishment or Crime and Punishments?
It's Crimes and Punishment. Crime and Punishment.
Ask Justin McElroy.
Yeah.
I also had on there Spark, and I put Player Created Worlds, which I don't remember.
Project Spark?
Yeah, Project Spark.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the last one I had on here that we did not talk about or shunned to the side was Ori and the Blind Forest. Looked interesting.
Oh, man.
So I'm going to throw that out there.
That did look interesting. Was it more than a trailer? Like, was there anything else shown?
I think it was just a trailer that I saw at least, and that was about it.
For me, it's a good time to jump into the Monster Hunter series of books. I'm not talking about – it's not related to the video games. They're talking about essentially it is one of the top-rated current fantasy novels series out there. It tops the Audible charts, etc. It's got consistently high ratings across pretty much every reviews section. And it's really fun. It's just big, dumb fun. Think summer action movies, but in book form. So Monster Hunter Nemesis is the most recent book, but it starts with Monster Hunter National. If you know Patrick Rothfuss, the writer of Name of the Wind, he just rated the first book 5 stars. So yeah, it's actually a legitimately good series, but fun in nature, and I definitely recommend it. So Monster Hunter International by Larry Correa.
I want to read Name of the Wind. Yeah. Probably should.
It's pretty good.
Okay. Did we get everyone?
I think we did.
Okay. This should be it. That's E3.
That was E3.
See you next year, I guess.
That was like the longest podcast ever.
Yes.
It shouldn't have been. Oh, God.
E3 is a big deal.
Yeah, it was big. Yeah.
Cynic wasn't wrong so often. The podcast wouldn't be as lengthy.
Very true.
Mm.
If it was just Persona, Cynic would have been done in about...
Oh, then the podcast would be even longer.
I skip over the games I cared about most, okay? Jeez.
Because then we would just be getting started.
Yes. Exactly. See, I sacrifice.
See, this is the worst, because it's like midday,
right? What time is it there?
Fuck yeah, it's only 3 p.m.
Yeah, so you could just keep going. That's the
I did. Think of my restraint. Think of what I showed.
We need to like switch this where it's in the middle of the day for us, but like really late at night for you, so you're the one who's on the weird timetable and wants to go sleep.
I would take off of work to do that, just to have you experience what we do.
I'm not sure if this show is still going, so I'm saying bye.
Bye everybody.
Thank you for joining us. Bye. Dinner. I will see you guys later.
Cool. Sunday. Yeah. Continuing our grand adventure. Me and Minnie. Okay.
The rest
of the crew.
I love Minnie. I love what you've done with your character.
He's just slowly going insane.
Freaking awesome. It's really well played.
So, I'm actually surprised that everyone seems to have a positive review of how I'm playing my character. And I'm just
I tried to do the drunken bar thing and no one liked it, even you. And
no,
I was trying to
zero people liked it.
Well, it was funny though.
No, it wasn't. It was annoying and a hindrance.
Well, I'm trying to find my balance then, because I want to be funny
the
drunken parody.
The thing we were doing the other day, which was you set it up for Loopy on a silver platter and he just finished it amazingly, was when we were in the shop and not shop and it looked kind of like a butt. And you walked in, and Loopy said we were going to have a butt pirate, and that was really funny.